two, three, four. Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just.
Does that mean we're on the radio?
Testing.
One. Two.
Three.
Four and three quarters. Have a full show tonight. A little later, he's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had him on the show since what?
New Year's Eve, 2019.
Ronnie Rice. Yes, he of the New Colony Six. He brought his guitar and his voice and
his coffee in his pocket. Somehow he's carrying his coffee in his pocket.
Yeah, but that's Ronnie.
That's I said, "Can I get you something to drink?" "Oh, I've got coffee." And he patted his pocket.
Also, a little later, we're going to talk with Patrick Crisman, not about technology, but about that horrible ongoing situation in California. Patrick and his family had to evacuate. They're now back at home, but we're going to get an update from them on what they've experienced, what's going on. Then still a little later tonight, our buddy Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, is going to be joining us. And we have several other surprises. But we have to say hello to a new member of
yes.
the team, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. In our newsroom, because Ron Brown he's having a movie orgy today. He started at 10 o'clock this morning. He's going to be watching movies until midnight because he's going to watch all the movies that are going to be nominated for Academy Awards.
He posted that on Facebook
yes.
earlier.
And that's when we found out that we would have a special guest in the newsroom tonight. His name is Rob LaFrenz.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hey, Rob. Welcome. Thank you. Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, where have you been hanging out? I understand that during the morning shows, people know you, right?
Yeah, I'm usually here in the morning, the brutal and demanding 4 a.m. to noon shift. You know, when Ron Brown calls and says he needs somebody to step in for him, I answer that call.
Oh, did we bust him? Because he may have said, "I've got very important things to take care of on jobs."
No, I think he was pretty open about what he was doing. He posted it on Facebook.
He did, yes. So everybody knows. And in fact, he sent me a text and he said, because I said, "I'm jealous. You're going to be catching up today." Honestly, I don't think I could watch 5 movies in one day because they're all so different that my mind would just be scrambled.
The closest I ever came was one, I believe it was a Sunday years ago, and I saw 4 movies in the theater. I remember one of them was Superman. I think another one may have been E.T. or Raiders of the Lost Ark. But it was 4 movies in one day, 4 different theaters.
4 mega movies.
Yeah.
And then you met me and had a life.
Yeah. Speaking of life, since you are new to our microphones, everything we need to know about you, and I understand we have a lot of mutual friends, too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I call this my hometown for the most part. I lived in Chicago itself for about 25 years and grew up in the northern suburbs. So, longtime listener, first time anchor, really.
Well, when you say you claim Chicago as home, where, why? Did you move out someplace else and then come back?
I grew up in the northern burbs and then I moved into Chicago and lived on the north side for... 24 years, and then
I love the fact that you distinguish the fact that when you live in the suburbs, you're not necessarily living in Chicago.
Right.
So those of you who live in Rockford, you don't live in Chicago. I'm sorry.
Yeah, everybody's very very concerned about that. You know, like when you say Chicago, they're like, "Hold on, really, Chicago?"
Yeah.
And so I want to make that distinction before anybody rats me out and says, "Hey, I know you live up north."
Well, did I see something on your Facebook page about Woodstock?
Oh, we went there last year for the for Woodstock Willie, and we're looking forward to it again this year. Actually, it was such a blast. Tom Skilling was there, MC for it all. It was a little chilly, but it was such a great time, and they do a great job out there. So
they relive Groundhog Day,
and we relived Groundhog Day. Yeah.
In fact, as I was looking at your Facebook page, I saw Woodstock Willie and the Rolling Stones. Okay, I'm good. That works.
That's about it. Those are my, I used to post quite a bit on Facebook, but I've pulled it back over the last couple of years, and now I stick to the things that are the most important, music and food.
So, speaking of music, did you work in music radio at any point?
You know, my first job was on a country music radio station up in Hudson, Wisconsin. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's right on the border, and it can be heard in Minneapolis, so we said major market. But it was a country music radio station, and, we played the hits. Hank Williams Jr. and not Hank Williams Jr., I mean Hank Williams.
Oh, the real country music, yeah.
Yeah. So
were you news or were you a jock?
I was a jock, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you had some mention on Facebook about vinyl going to some of the record shows. Are you a collector?
I'm a big vinyl collector. Still have my collection from when I was a kid. Still have it. It's still, by the way, it's not in boxes. I mean, this is up on shelves. I got my turntable set up. I listen regularly and love it all. But I love music in general. I spend a lot of time doing my music library on iTunes that currently has 100,000 plus songs. And I love all the intricacies of music and all the producers and the songwriters and just everything about it.
So you're kind of a music geek.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Okay. I knew I liked you.
Yes, yes. Because we have all of our music is kind of overwhelming because we have a room that the walls are vinyl. And then we have two landings. No, actually three landings
in
our hallway.
Three landings
of CDs. Well, floor to ceiling, wall to wall CDs. And we've attempted to alphabetize them. And it frightens people when they come to our house. They're like, oh, you actually spent time doing that. Yes.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have to have you over sometime.
Yeah. And we buy music. I think this week we had four CDs delivered.
Yeah.
Just this week.
Do you ever go to the record shows or anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah, we've been to some of the in fact, the last time we were at one of the record shows is when we were when our Les Paul book first came out. And we did, was this at the Hillside?
It was.
I think it was,
Yes. We were autographing our book, selling our book, and met a whole bunch of people there. And it was at one of the record shows that somebody walked up to you, and they had just purchased a WLS survey, a music survey, with your picture on it. And they asked you to autograph it, and then we went over to the booth where the guy was selling them, and he asked you to autograph a few of them, so they went from $5 to $15 right in front of us.
Just saw, as we were walking away, I'm raising the prices. I think, I'm worth $15?
Yes.
Who
That's
knew?
Pretty cool.
Yes.
Can I tell you, I have a stack of those WLS things still in a folder. Yeah, I probably got about three or four dozen of them.
Wow.
Cool.
Wow. You'll have to look through to see if you find Steve.
I will,
He's the one with the large pork chop sideburns, very large pork chop sideburns. As I've often said, if I'd known him with those pork chop sideburns, no, we would not have dated.
And there is one picture where it looks like I'm laying in a field. You see like a little bit of hay or something. If you see that picture, that was actually taken on the Dan Ryan Expressway
On the median.
On the median, because the photographer, Peggy Zarnik, had this wacky idea. She said, okay, we can get across the traffic, right? So we raced across the traffic, and she got me in the median. She said, okay, now lay down, and I'll do this picture. And that was the one they used on the survey.
That's cool.
And fortunately, I survived, and I'm here to tell the tale.
How to kill a disc jockey.
Yes.
Run him across the Dan Ryan. Yes.
It's a great story.
You're going to be with us all night long.
I'll be here till 11:30.
Okay, so Gabe is waiting in the wings, and so everything is right in the world. We've got 5 hours of show to squeeze in the next 4.5 hours.
Yep.
So stick around, kids. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on WGN.
You know you make me wanna shout. Look, my hands jumping. Shout. Look, my heart's bumping. Shout. Throw my head back. Shout. Come on now. Shout. Don't forget to say you will. Shout. Yeah, don't forget to shout. Yeah, 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 yeah. Say you will. Throw your head back, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Throw your head back.
Woo. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That means it's time for some shouts. Am I correct? Is that Lulu? Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Lulu, who did To Sir With Love, she could get some growl in her voice, and that was one of her first hit records.
She sounded a little Brenda Lee-like.
Yeah.
I could hear Brenda doing that. She could tear it up. Have you seen her lately?
Yeah.
Unbelievable that she still has the voice. I saw her singing...
She was doing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah. I said, oh my gosh, she still got it. Well, it's time now for our shout outs because we got a whole bunch of people that are signing in tonight, and we do appreciate that. In fact, let me roll through these people that checked in at 312-981-7200. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Laura and her fur baby Cotton are tuned in from Willowbrook, and we have a picture of Cotton now, and he looks like a big old cotton ball. Actually, he's kind of small, but he looks like a cotton ball. Bonnie and George are in Elgin, and Bonnie celebrates her 90th birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Bonnie. Scott's in Pierre, South Dakota. Mary's in Oak Lawn. Ken is in Ann Arbor. Jim G is in Wisconsin. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Lester Clyden is our truckin' buddy, and Lester is tuned in because his life has changed a bit. He has moved to another trucking company, and it looks like he's going to be able to listen to us from home on the weekends instead of on the road. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Robin Aiken's in Port Charlotte, Florida. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Three Floridas checked in, one after the
other. Where is San Antonio, Florida?
I don't know, but Lynn, thank you for checking in. She says our high was just about 60 and dropping to the 40s tonight. And in our part of Florida,
it was down into the 20s.
Yes.
This past week in the panhandle of Florida, and freeze warnings, and even our friend Chris Smith, the meteorologist from WJHG, he was posting, it's cold out.
And people say, well, why aren't you in Florida for January and February? Because it gets cold there. And in the panhandle, it's crazy.
A below 50 temperature in the panhandle feels more bone-penetrating cold than a 20 degree temperature does in Chicago.
Absolutely. Peter Lawrence just checked in. He said, glad the Blackhawks are done. It was sad, but it's good to hear you. Thank you, Peter. Lansing, Michigan is checking in. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Brian Lefevre is a big Ronnie Rice fan. A lot of our listeners checked in to say they're really looking forward to hearing Ronnie tonight. Brian is in Bridgeport. Nancy Hollins is tuned in. Again, thank you all who have inquired about Patrick and the Crispin family. We appreciate that, and they see your posts, and they certainly appreciate it.
And we'll be talking with Patrick in about an hour and a half.
So. Yeah. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, listening on his Sea Crane radio. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Gene Sheridan, hello from Tennessee. Tracy Douglas, a big
Tennessee, run. Where did you see where our friend Charlie Meadows, who co-hosts the morning show on WSM, he posted the picture of the WSM studios covered in snow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's different in that part of the world when it snows. They're not ready for it. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia, and she also checks in as a big Ronnie Rice fan. Steve Kolner is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Debbie Hardiman is in Waukesha. Larry Mann checks in from Miami, as always. Thank you, Larry. Susan Powell's in Memphis. Thank you very much.
Memphis.
Bonnie Pearson's in Gray's Lake. Peggy Caston Shue, Munster, Indiana. Yo, Munster. Donna Youngheim is Oak Lawn. Patty Heumann is in Pennsylvania. Susan Marie Schemmel and Glenn Ellen. Dorothy Orsini in West Allis. Michelle Fairfield in Peoria. Terry Knight in Batavia. Jeffrey Welshens in Elkins, West Virginia. 18 inches of snow in Elkins, West Virginia. Linda Johnson and her big sister are tuned in. Jan Reinhardt, she's in the laboratory as she is every Saturday night. Nancy Nosek's in South Holland. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park. Beverly Goodall tuned in from Highwood. Scott Cooper in Naperville. Oh, he's checking in from Washington, D.C. tonight and sends us a lovely picture. Mary Ellen Vance is in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Know it well. Terry Brock is from Bridgeview. Thank goodness. Bridgeview's tuned in. John Herbeck. Richard Patsky from Aruba tonight. Listening online from Aruba. Melissa Garman is in DeKalb. Helen Thomas in K-Town. Charlene Weidel, a big Ronnie Rice fan, said that she saw him at Spavone's in Bloomingdale just a couple of months ago. She loves him. Christine Failing is in Plainfield. Elaine Miller is tuned in. And Nancy Tomachevsky is in West Allis. Carol Roberts, listening from PCB tonight from our place in Florida.
Good.
Bobby Danos, our buddy from Sandwich, and Elizabeth Roth, Francis Randall, I'm running out of gas. I'm like Gene Jacobson, and our buddy from Northwest Indiana, from Hobart, Indiana, that would be Chuck Snitchell and Diane.
Or Chuck Snitchler.
Snitchler. What did I say? Snitchler.
Snitchell.
Now we're going to start thinking food, right? I'm thinking sauerkraut and schnitzel. Diane Peterson, thank you for tuning in. And Judy B., finally. Eric Baum from Wells Beach, Maine. I was busy looking at the lovely picture he sent, and he sends one almost every week, and we appreciate that. And if you hear coughing going on, we are not sick.
I was just going to go there. You will probably hear background coughing throughout the entire show. Neither of us are sick. This is kind of a seasonal dry throat allergy-ish thing.
It's frustrating, especially when you have to talk. So anything that goes wrong tonight, I'm going to blame it on the air.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I did post pictures of our drive into work tonight. Some different views, but some of the same that never get old to me, like the Drake Hotel.
Yeah.
Quick, Wichita Falls checking in. That's Dan Lewandowski from Wichita Falls.
Okay. You mentioned Wichita Falls
16
last
states
week,
tonight.
And a song starts. Now, this is truly, truly weird.
Mm-hmm.
What's the song that starts on the jukebox of my mind? It was a song that had like a Wichita, I thought you knew what. It was almost like an Indian kind of a thing. Somebody will know.
I have no idea.
And I want to say this was
60s,
in the
60s, 70s?
No, I think this was 80s.
Really?
Maybe not. It was
Wichita Falls?
No, it was
just
something
reminds
that sounded
you.
Like Wichita, Inuit, da, 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 da. Okay, somebody proved that I'm not crazy. Well, no, that's a separate question. Am I
yes,
crazy?
Thank
yes,
you.
But somebody back me up on this. 312-981-7010.
Keeper of the Big Plug is just sitting across from you chortling.
He's just shaking his head.
Yes, yes. Mm-mm. He's got his headphones on going, no, no, no. But see, Ron's not here to chortle, so we have Bob to do that tonight. There he goes.
Yes, so you will hear background chortling and background coughing.
Yes. And we are mad with all kinds of cough suppressant things, but they don't work because it's a tickle that just won't go away.
Speaking of not working.
Yes.
A little later.
That won't
Bob,
pop up.
Bob's head pops up. What? Me?
I'm working. Huh? I am.
A little later tonight, we will share a cautionary tale.
Oh, God.
of a service company, and we will name the service company.
Yes.
We had one of the most frustrating service company experiences we have ever had. It still isn't. Well, it will be resolved by using a different company, but
yes.
We will name the company and everything a little later tonight.
2 days wasted. Two days wasted. Sitting.
On top of the first day,
yes.
When the service person came out, and because the... Well, okay, I don't want to go into it all at this moment, but...
Exactly how I feel. By the way, Pat from Dallas, Texas just checked in, so we're up to 17 states listening in tonight.
Hi, Pat.
Baby, is he looking after you? Is he showing you the same love, the warm love, just like we knew? Baby, baby, it's you I'm thinking of.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio, and it has been way too long since we've had the pleasure of welcoming this man back into the studio. You first heard him, first time you heard him was when he was singing lead on many of the New Colony 6 hits. He's still wowing audiences in his solo shows and at the cornerstone of rock concerts, and his name is Ronnie Rice. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
Steven Johnny.
Ronnie Rice. Sounds so good, we have to say it twice, right?
Thank you. Well, I'll be honest. First of all, I'd like to wish you a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And all the people out there, Happy New Year to you, especially if you're nice people. All you do with the nice people. And, it's great to see you guys again. Unbelievable. It's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
You haven't changed.
And it's been
as pretty as you guys were before.
It's been 5 years since you were in this studio for New Year's Eve.
What, 5 years?
Yes, it was 19 into 20. Yes.
Time do fly.
But we survived that pandemic.
Yeah, good answer.
How about it?
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm doing an audible. Julian, can you move Ronnie's vocal mic a little closer to him?
A little closer to my phone. Here we go, to the lips. All right, Jack. Oh, never mind. Okay, I'll be talking to an engineer over here. What's your name, Jeff?
No, Julian. That's our producer, Julian.
Oh, well.
He's not going to be over your shoulder all night, so don't worry. We're just going to get it right.
Well, I'll tell you.
And before Ronnie does anything, the blatant plug light has just gone off, and we should mention that Ronnie will be appearing at Moonlight Theater in St. Charles on Saturday, January 25th.
Have you seen
7:30?
Have you seen a picture of that place? It's lovely.
Very nice.
It looks really cool. And if you want reservations, you can call 630-549-0072. That number again is 630-549-0072. And for the Moonlight Theater in St. Charles to see Ronnie, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th.
Well, thank you for that.
Very nice. Yeah, I saw a picture of the Moonlight Theater. I'm unfamiliar with it.
Me too. I've never played there before. Mm-hmm. I know friends of mine have, but what I was going to say is that I'm looking forward to it. It's an intimate setting.
Yeah.
And that's what's nice about it. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's, as we said, St. Charles.
Yes. I was telling you off the air that I was going through the texts that came in, because we get texts. I'm looking at this screen here, and the texts come in, and we do a shout-out to the people who are listening from around the country. And so many of the people mentioned that not only are they big fans of yours, but quite a few of them saw you at Spavone's just a few months ago. Yeah.
You talk about intimate settings and just being close with everybody, and we had a great time. People are nice. So far, knock on wood, everybody's been terrific.
Well, how has the Cornerstone of Rock show changed your life? Because it's exploded.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. I told Ron Onesti.
Mm-hmm.
I told him one day, I said, Ronnie, that's what my parents would say.
Uh-huh.
Ronnie, I said, you're going to burn this out. Because he had it so much at Aircon and different places. And he said, I know. It hasn't burned out yet.
Yeah.
It's still rocking big time. We're going to be doing something. Again, we're going to be down in, it's going to be Egyptian Theater.
Yeah.
Where is that? Down in DeKalb. I think, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it all. You know, it's just great. It's a lot of fun. And because they get a chance to see everybody again.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you are there performing, you're performing solo as well as with...
No.
With Ray?
What's happening is I do, you know, Jimmy Piedrecki, of course, you know, mm-hmm. from The Ides of March and Survivor. Jimmy is the guy who put this whole thing together, the whole Cornerstone thing mm-hmm. together. So he's in charge. He's the main guy. And that being said, he's backing up everybody, except for the Buckingham. So I represent, along with Ray Graffy and Bruce Matty, the New Colony. And then you have the other original guys. You got Crying James, you know,
right.
and Toad, and who's a lead singer, and Jim Pelster, who's been with him forever. And then the Buckinghams, of course, and then, what were you saying, Crying James, Ides of March? Yeah, that's it. There were like four of us, so mm-hmm. you know. So we do what hopefully everybody remember.
It's a great idea too.
Oh, Jimmy had a good idea, boy. I'll tell you.
Well, I'm going to have what I think is a good idea. We're going to stop talking. You want to rock for a few minutes?
Well, I don't know. I don't know any rock and roll song, but I'll try.
That as a warm-up, because apparently we have a microphone problem.
Yeah, there is a microphone problem. You sounded great. We want people listening to us to be able to hear as good as you sounded.
Yes.
There's a microphone problem. We're going to solve it during the next break.
All right.
Yes, yes. And thank you all for checking in, saying, oh my gosh, something's happened to his microphone. So we've got a few of them in here that we can choose from. So stay with us, and we'll be right back with Ronnie Rice here on WGN.
Oops. Hi there, kids.
We have our engineer in here.
So a little behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yes, no audio coming through on 5.
Keeper of the big plug, Bob has wandered in. And, Bob, I had mic 5 maxed out.
Okay.
And there was little or no audio. I have no idea why. Ronnie, I'm going to make a suggestion. Can you try, even though... You won't have, can you try just moving over and using the microphone?
One slot down. Go with, yeah.
No, are you kidding?
No.
What? What?
I checked the other one. Are you kidding?
No.
Is that?
Don't move.
I'm not going to name someone. I'm going to slap someone. I'm not a violent person. But this apparently was caused by one of our Florida friends.
A gotcha on the board. And it gotcha.
Yeah,
but you know what, Ronnie? That was a little warm-up for you. You
got
you had to stretch
and
your...
And we had checked everything.
Yep.
But we hadn't... Okay, Ronnie, say something into the mic now.
Check, 1, 2. How's your bird?
That still doesn't sound a whole lot better to me, honestly.
Hello. Mm-hmm. How's everybody out there? Check, 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 check.
Okay, now that sounds a little better.
Hello. Where are you, little star?
Okay. You know what? I'm going to say we should shut up and let Ronnie play, and let's try this all again. As I think Taylor Swift said in one of her concerts.
Oh, is that what it...
That didn't happen.
That's right.
The past 5 minutes didn't happen. We're starting fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Hi, Ronnie. Welcome to the studio.
Welcome to the show.
Yes. It's nice to see you.
Hey, what are you going to do? It's rock and roll. Okay. So, what's new? Anyway. Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, by the way. If I do a certain tune, I'm going to give you a cue when to come in.
Oh.
Because I have a feeling you'll know the tune. I hope. Bingo, 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 bingo. How's this? Is it better right here?
That is better.
All right, let me get in closer. Move this up a little bit. Nope.
So off the air, you said,
okay.
So when do we do a mic check? I said, this is all live. We fly by the seat of our pants.
See, people don't realize that.
Yes.
There was no time for a sound check, so that's why we're running into this situation. You know what I mean? And, oh, yeah. You want to go through one?
Sure.
Oh, okay, no. Happening, Stephen.
I'm not sure what's happening. Talk into that mic in front of you.
Check. 1, 2.
Okay, I'm going to turn everything else off. Talk into that microphone again.
This is what it's about.
That's not good.
That's not good.
Oh, no.
No.
So.
Okay. Use that microphone over there.
All right. We'll move on.
Sorry, Ronnie.
Let's move on.
And this is just...
live radio.
Yeah, live radio and...
let me tell you. Okay.
Don't hurt your guitar.
Let's try this.
By the way, a listener just checked in to say that Spavone's is such a great place to see Ronnie because Tony is your opening act at Spavone's.
Say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tony Spavone.
Yeah.
Tony Spavone. Yeah, he does his own, he does a lot of beautiful Italian songs. You know, like Rock and Roll's Here to Stay. No, that's not real. I just thought I'd say that. All right, what are you getting out of me now here?
Well, play something and let's find out.
Want to do another one?
Sure.
All right, you better sing along to this one if anybody hears this. Wag around that kitchen, rattle those pots and pans. Wag around that kitchen, rattle those pots and pans. I said, roll my breakfast as I'm a hungry man. Here we go. Get ready, guys. I said, shake. Rattle and roll. I see the shake, rattle and roll. I see the shake, rattle and roll. I see the shake, shake, rattle and roll. Yeah, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul. I believe you're doing me wrong, getting high and low. Woo, I believe you're doing me wrong, getting high and low. Yeah, the more I make, low, the faster my money goes. Hit it again. Okay, you guys out there sing. All right, here we go. I said shake, rattle, and roll. I said shake, rattle, and roll. I said shake, rattle, and roll. I said shake, shake, rattle, and roll.
bet you never do nothing, nothing, nothing to save your doggone soul. You hear that?
Yes. Ronnie's in the house.
Are we getting better?
You're not down the hall.
Let's go over the other two then. No, I'm kidding. Well, I'm glad to hear something's working, huh?
Well, in fact, someone said, is he in another room? No.
What? What did he say?
Are you in another room?
Oh, sorry about that.
No.
Yeah. Hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Oh, Steve, you don't have your guitar with you, do you?
No, I do not.
Well, then forget about it. No, I mean, hey, can I do one more?
Of course.
Oh, hey, I'm going to dedicate this to a friend of mine that might be listening. Mm-hmm. His name is Dale. The reason I bring it up, we hang out a lot. Hardest working guy I've ever seen. This cat just doesn't stop.
Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, ooh, I'm going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, ooh, I'm going down. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on? Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, woo, I'm going down, 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 down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine.
There we go, baby. All right. Hey, anyway, you remember that song?
Lee Dorsey, roughly 19...
What else did Lee Dorsey do?
Oh,
I'm sitting in a lala waiting for my yaya, sitting in a lala waiting for my yaya, may sound funny, but I don't believe she is coming home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, baby, worry, don't baby worry, Hey, baby, worry, don't baby worry, Yeah, you know how I love you, oh, how I love you,
Oh, yeah. There you go. A little bit of something.
So
love that.
We've called Ronnie the human jukebox for years.
Do they?
You are amazing. You are amazing in concert because I'm serious.
You.
Because we've seen you many, many times when you step up on stage, and a couple of hours later, you finally stop. It's like, and you're not looking at a list in front of you.
No.
So how do you do that?
I just can I tell you something real quick? I mean,
sure.
This is just the way it happened. One of my first job that I did with the guitar, self-contained, as it were. Was at a place called Lawrence of Oregano.
Sure.
On Diversey.
Yeah.
Great place.
On Diversey. And I went in there with an index card, a cue card, so to speak. And I had these songs I wanted to do. Ricky Nelson, Everly Brothers, Beach Boys, Bingo Bango, Paul Revere. The only thing is, I never used it. So, in other words, things just happened because I just enjoyed, you know, it's just part of you, you know. So
you just feed off the audience, too.
Pardon me?
You feed off the audience.
Oh, absolutely. The audience is everything. If it weren't for the crowd, you know, what's the point of doing it? They're wonderful. I've heard myself. I have more fun when they're here. They do it. You know what I mean? Like, the night was clear and the moon was yellow. Okay, you guys got to do it on this. The years came tumbling down.
I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling out in the dark. Yeah. Well, saggy, daggy, ham billy, saggy, two damn, two gambling late. Saggy threw seven up in his war.
He threw, Harry, it's yours now. Ready? Cause you got
personality.
Oh, timing is everything. Personality walk, personality love, personality smile, charm,
personality
love,
personality.
But you kind of grab it hard to hold it.
and over. Well, I'll be a fool for you. I said over and over. What no can do. Oops, my record got stuck. Did you notice that? I did. Anyway, it's always something. You know
that's
what I mean?
Awesome.
I'm telling you. That's fun. Huh? That's a lot of fun.
Oh, it is fun. That's all it's supposed to be. That's all it is.
Well, we're going to have to take a break, and then we'll come back with a whole lot more Ronnie. And again, people are asking how they can see Ronnie. You can go, you can call 630-549-0072. Ronnie's going to be appearing at the Moonlight Theater in St. Charles on Saturday, January 25th, 7:30 p.m. And again, for reservations, the number is 630-549-0072.
Or you can check them out online at moonlighttheater.com, and you'll see a picture of the lovely venue that is completely new to me, and I can't wait to get out to St. Charles to see it. And we'll be back with Ronnie Rice here on WGN.
I live without you. Please don't let that ever happen. I have too much love within me for you. Baby, it's true.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That, of course, is Ronnie Rice, who at that point in his career was the lead singer with the New Colony Six. He is still alive and well and wowing audiences in his solo shows and the cornerstone of rock concerts. And, Ronnie, do you have any idea? Just take a wild guess, and I don't expect you to know the answer to this.
Okay.
How many times in your life do you think you performed that song?
That I've done it?
Yeah.
How many times?
Because that first came out in what, 19?
How amazing. I would say, you know, I never thought about that.
Because that came out in what, 1960?
It came out in 68. We did good in 68. And then after that is what you played earlier, Things Like to Say. But I couldn't tell you. All I could tell you, which I really appreciate, is when people react to it the way they do, and when they would tell you that was their song.
Yeah.
Either they married and they said, we use that tune for, you know. So that makes you, it's very rewarding.
And wasn't that the first time I met you? Because at that point, I was working in Gary at WLTH. Mm. The New Colony Six did a concert at the Miller Park Pavilion. And I think you had just finished doing a tour up in Wisconsin. I think you'd played Milwaukee, and you came down to do Miller Park Pavilion, and that was the first time I saw you live, and I was blown away by your live performance then.
Oh, you're nice. Thank you. But, hey, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that since the Milwaukee Summerfest has been on,
mm-hmm.
the New Colony was actually the first band at the first...
Really?
Yeah, at the first Milwaukee Summerfest. And what happened was at the time, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we're in there's a big tent, probably held about a few thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
And a wind came over. Now, we weren't playing yet. It was supposed to be that evening, and we were there late afternoon. The wind blew the whole tent down.
Oh.
So we put on a free for the people out the next day. And it was crazy. It was wonderful, but I'm glad we weren't there. You know, we weren't inside. So it worked out okie dokie. But we've been there now about three times, New Colony. We're there with you talked about the cornerstone of rock. And again, as I said earlier, Jim Peterik was the one who came up with the idea for PBS.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out extremely well. So we're playing different places. And, you know, it's incredible that the turnouts are what they are. Hey, let's see how long it lasts.
Let me take you back to 68, though, because I've got to know when you did Summerfest or when Steve saw you in Gary, were you wearing the Colony
garb?
Outfits?
I remember, you may not remember, but I remember exactly what you were wearing.
What?
That first time that I saw you in Miller Park, and you were wearing one of the coolest fringe jackets I've ever seen.
Oh.
You know, a friend of mine stole that. You know that?
You're kidding.
Oh, man. I had a turquoise ring, you know, looking kind of hip.
Yeah.
A little bracelet, turquoise, fringe jacket, the one we used on the album cover, Revelations.
Yeah.
Revelations. And,
but literally, after I saw you that night, I said, I got to get a jacket like that. That is so cool.
That's funny.
But,
it was cool. That was
the colony garb. About that.
Yeah. Well, prior to that, they were wearing uniforms. So, in other words, on our second album, Colonization, they were all wearing the same thing. You know, we're wearing blue coats with epaulettes or whatever you call them. The apple butter. Ooh. I said that because Johnny put together
I brought
apple
you some
butter.
Apple butter, yes.
What did
so,
you call
it? The jackets were Edwardian, kind of.
Right, right.
Paul Revere and the Raider-ish.
Well, that was prior to me. See, I was the first person that was, I was replacing the keyboard player, a guy named Craig Kemp.
Weren't they a bunch of St. Pat's guys?
And right.
You were Evanston High School.
Right. They were the only one. I met them at Columbia College.
Mm-hmm.
And they had me audition. Now, they had heard of me because prior to that, I was fortunate enough to have a sing-out when I was 16, when I was still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So people heard about it. I guess the colony remembered it later on. I heard that I really didn't know who the colony was originally, but when I met them at Columbia College, they said they were going to be recording. And prior to them auditioning me, I went there to see them record because I knew the engineer, Stu Black. And as it turns out, I'll tell you, it was funny. So I can't play keyboards, but when they auditioned me later on, come on, we'll have you come in to audition. Well, I passed the audition, and here we are today. Now, Dick Biondi, I told you, he was the one that really got me started in the business. I knocked on his door. I knocked on his door when I was 17, or 16, actually, and he was so nice. I've told the story many times, and he was just incredible. He introduced me to Gene Taylor, who at the time was program director of WLS, and then from that, you know, after having, like I say, that was when I had my first single out. After that, people like you guys were playing our stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. I was so fortunate to do what I love, as we are, if we are able to do that. What I was going to say about, by the way, backing up a little bit, the Milwaukee Summerfest, New Colony's played about three times already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun when you go back, but now it's huge. I mean, they got a zillion acts.
Yeah.
Well, a zillion and one. But amazing. Amazing.
Are you still having fun?
Oh, gosh. Absolutely.
What were you doing at Columbia College? Did you go there just for the audition, or had you been enrolled in Columbia College?
Oh, I went to Columbia College for about 10 minutes. I mean, I hate school.
Okay, what were you studying at Columbia College?
Nothing.
What were you supposed to be studying?
That's why I didn't stay very long.
Wait, but you were paying money for tuition.
Oh, well, I didn't pay for it. Thank goodness my parents did that.
Well, what did your folks say, though? Ronnie, what are you going to major in?
Well, it's an interesting thing. My dad was in the fur business, believe it or not.
Right.
Back in the day, you know, darling. And as it turns out, he told one of his customers, I didn't know this because I talked to that customer. She saw me somewhere. Hey, Ronnie, I knew your dad. And anyhow, so she said, your dad told us you'll never amount to anything. And they were right. Hey, get out of here. But you know. Yeah, but anyway, so as it turns out.
Did she actually tell you that?
Yeah, she did.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, but he didn't tell me. He never said that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I played out in San Diego for a corporate party one time, and they were there. They lived in San Diego. And he came out, and while I was on stage doing one of the tunes, he came walking up, and he whispers in my ear, do something. He'd give me a song he wanted me to do. I said, folks, make me look good, would you please? Because that's my dad right here. So he was very proud of what happened, very much
good.
So they were very inspirational in a sense, you know. And they let me do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so far, so lucky. That's all there is to it.
And they were probably happy at the point when you said, I'm done with college. And they said, oh, good, we don't have to pay that tuition anymore.
Probably. Because what happened with the college thing, when I went to Columbia College, I walked home from there. I didn't have to, but I walked into Evanston from downtown.
Wow.
Because I didn't want them to know I wasn't at school. So I got back home at my dad's place. I don't remember. Do you remember there was a DJ or an announcer, and I know you know this, Al Parker.
Oh, sure.
I'm here because of Al Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He was my instructor, and he's the one that called a radio station in Aurora and said, I've got this young lady here. You need to talk to her. And I got my first job in radio because
how about it? Oh, that's interesting, because he was our teacher at Columbia College. I guess that's what I was doing.
And a lot of people don't remember that before Jan Gabriel, Al Parker was the one who did the Sunday at US 30.
Yes. Yes. Oh, he had a voice.
Yeah. Oof. Pardon me?
And Al Parker was also one of my teachers when I went to Midwest Broadcasting School.
Well, he told me to get out. He said, you're done. Get out of here. I was never into it. All I wanted was a hit record. That's all I cared about.
Yeah.
And
But you didn't start playing guitar till you were like 15, 16, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I took lessons for about a year. Doesn't sound like it. A couple of minutes, whatever. But it is what it is. Yeah. So I'm very fortunate again.
Well, did you buy your first guitar or?
Oh, I think my dad bought my first electric guitar. It was an Epiphone, like a single, pickup on it. And that started it. Then I took lessons. And I remember going one time, I think it was to a lesson, stopped over at this restaurant. I ordered two cheeseburgers and fries. And some girl came in that I knew, and I didn't want her to see that I'm being a hog. So I actually left without those cheeseburgers. I was embarrassed. I was scared. I was embarrassed.
Did that make the Guinness Book of Records, you walking away from a meal?
That could be it.
We're going to take a break and come back and let Ronnie show you what he does with that guitar. So stick around at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Ronnie Rice. Sounds so nice. Got to say it twice. That's what Bob Collins always used to say.
Yes.
Oh. Ronnie is going to be appearing in a couple weeks in St. Charles at the Moonlight Theater, Saturday, January 25th, 7:30 p.m. You can call for reservations, 630-549-0072. That's the Moonlight Theater in St. Charles. Ronnie, should we shut up and let you boogie a little bit?
Well, all right. Hey, I love doing it anyway. So here's the deal.
Now hear me talk about the Julie and your Peggy Sue. Keep you, Miss Molly, or your Mary Lou. But when it comes to the chicken, doing the bop, I got a gal, they call it Queen of the Harp. Do you love my queen? Now do you love who I mean? Sweet little 16. Yeah, that my queen. Now she went short, and rock and roll chew. You wanna see it dance to the Yellow Dog Blues. That she my sugar time, baby, I'm a lollipop. Everybody knows I love my queen of the harp. I do love my queen. Yeah, she ain't no good with me. Sweet little 16. Yeah, now that's my queen. Yeah. Now she tunes in the bandstand every day. Watch kids dance across the USA. She don't care about a thing except a rock and roll. I'm crazy about my baby when she does the stroll. Yeah, now do you love my queen? Did you know who me? Sweet little 15, queen of the heart. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Bobby Darin, 1907. I forgot to respect you.
And that was, I believe that was his follow-up to Splish Splash.
It could have been, yeah.
I think that was his second hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Split Splash, I will take you to bay. Long about it, Saturday night. Wolf Dove, I was relaxing me in the tub. Thinking everything was all right. And then I jumped out the tub, put my feet on the floor. Wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door. Please, flat, I jumped back in the bath. I was out of know there was a party going on. There was a fishing and a splashing, moving and a grooving, fishing and a splashing, rocking and a rolling. Yeah. Oh, hey. There was a fishing and a splashing, moving and a grooving, splish, splash, oh yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of what you do when you're on stage. You just kind of go from one to the other.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
It just,
it's sort of stream of consciousness rock and roll.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's seriously, it's amazing to watch because I'm like, okay, when I talk to Ronnie, sometimes I say, focus, focus. Oh, and when you're on stage, you are so focused.
Oh, well, you know. It's hey, listen.
You're in your happy
place. I feel
place.
You have to be focused. But the audience is, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
The audience is the, they're part of the show. They're part of the program. They are the program.
Yeah.
And if I can get them, you know, come and sing along, that's all I care about. I really do. I really do.
Ronnie, I have to ask you.
Oh, wait. Can I say hello to a lady I know?
No, but you could say hello to a lady you know.
Okay, well, I will anyway. Here we go. No, Dawn. I want to say hi to Dawn.
Hey, Dawn.
Dawn and I have been
Dawn.
Seeing each other for quite a while, and I figured, Dawn. Anyway, say a song for everything. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Anyway, enough of that. Okay.
So, speaking of saying hello to people.
What about? Go ahead.
I was wondering, there's a guy who used to occasionally show up when you would be on the show with us. And he would do a different take on Jimmy Reed.
I think I know who you're talking about.
The Rockin' Rabbi?
Yeah, the Rockin' Rabbi. You got me running. Got me hiding, darling. You got me running and hiding and hiding and running and everything you want. Now let it all hold. Oy, 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 oy. Oy, oy, oy. You got me doing what you want, darling. What do you want me to do? I'm going up, going down, going up and down, I'm getting tired. Let it roll, baby. Oh, yay, 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 ay, yay, yay, yay. You got me doing what you wish, darling. What do you want me doing, honey? Oh, yeah. Going up, I'm going down. I'm going up and down and sideways. Anyway, go. Let it roll, baby. Oh, yeah. Let it roll. You want some kishki? You got me doing what you want me. Baby, what you want me to do, really?
I'm sorry. That slays me every time. I have to hide from Ronnie because I'm literally crying. I'm laughing so hard.
Because that was how many years ago on our show, the Rockin' Rabbi made his first appearance?
That's got to
be
20 plus years.
At least.
That long ago, you think?
Yes. You were sitting next to me.
Yeah.
And you just, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and you just slipped into this, and we said, afterwards, that was the rockin' rabbi. And
crazy.
I remember I was crying that night. Watching you do that is such a stitch.
Well, it is what it is. It is what it is. You got any cabbage soup?
The rockin' rabbi doing Jimmy Reed, of all things. Oh, my gosh.
So when you go out to see Ronnie at the Moonlight Theater, you have to request an appearance by the rockin' rabbi.
All right.
Okay. I have to read a couple of texts to you real quick, okay?
Yeah.
Is Ronnie for hire for special parties and gatherings?
Anytime, baby.
Okay. Should they contact you via email, or how do you want them
Either
to contact
Either way. I'll give you my email if you like.
Okay, please.
Ready?
Yes.
Irving Berlin. No, I'm kidding. Elvis Presley. No, it ain't that. Okay, here it is. Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I-E, dot Rice, R-I-C-E, the numeral 8, at gmail.com. And I got a number they can call for booking.
Okay.
847-864-1577.
Okay, 847-864-1577.
Yes.
And I believe we've actually been to a party that you were performing, and our sports guy, Andy Mazur, you were hired to do his dad's 60th birthday party, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was raving about what fun it was because Ronnie literally is a human jukebox.
Can we
get you to stay for a few minutes after 11 o'clock? You're not going to turn into a pumpkin or anything?
Let me take a look. Oh, wait, that's the old guy. That's the other guy. Forget it. Sure, I'd love to.
All right.
I'd love to.
And we'll go through some of these texts because people have memories they want to share with you
lovely.
And questions they have for you. And
I'm ready, baby.
We've locked the door, so Ronnie Rice is in here with us for a little bit longer on WGN.
A little bit longer.
Summertime's for summer girls who kiss and run away. But winter girls have loving arms to warm a winter day. I'll marry my one baby when the snow is on the ground. I need a warm baby, keep me warm all the winter long. When the summer suns are fading and the winter winds are blowing strong, I'm not worried about winter, 'cause winter doesn't keep me warm.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's some very, very vintage refried rice. That's Ronnie Rice from early in his career, Warm Baby. What year did you record that?
Well, I was 16 years old. And as a matter of fact, I got it off a John Sebastian did it.
Yeah.
Love and Spoonful.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded that. Yeah, I was about 16. And again, this was during the period where Dick Biondi and everybody was nice enough to... I don't know if that ever got any play at all, but I'm glad you did.
It was credited with being you in a group called the Gents.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Called it the Gents. Those were a guy named Larry Lind and a bunch of people, friends of mine. And, obviously they were able to play. Mm-hmm. And they were on the session, so... You remember Don Carone's orchestra?
Oh, sure.
Out of Chicago?
Don Carone used to be, he was the guy who did backup at a lot of the big rock and roll concerts around
the
city.
Right, he was also a teacher at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, I think, Adventureland. You remember Adventureland?
Yes.
Ooh, memories. Memories. Anyway, so, he was cool. He played on the sessions, the first single I ever did when I was 16. But then later on, we tried some more. And it was wonderful. It's just like I say, but I didn't really get too lucky until Pete Wright and Howard Bednow, the two biggest record promoters. I told the story a number of times, but the biggest record promoters in the city of Chicago, whatever you heard on WLS at the time or CFL, that was because of these two guys. Mm-hmm. They were incredible. Everything was first name basis with them. Clyde... What's the guy again? Clyde Davis.
Oh, Clyde. People
The guy who later had the Eagles and so on.
Sure.
First name basis on it because they were independent. They yeah. didn't work for any company. They were independent. And 90% of which, but I heard tunes at their office before they ever got on the air.
Sure.
So I would hear, like, the Zombies, and you'd hear things like what's the guy's name? Who cares? Anyway, the bottom line is next. I don't know. But a lot of people.
That was back in the day when South Michigan Avenue was known as Record Row in Chicago. You had Chess Records at 2120. Sure. Then on the other side of the street, you had DJ. Yeah. You had United Record Distributors. You had Allstate Record Distributors.
And yes.
South Michigan Avenue was a major Midwest recording hub.
Yeah, VJ Records. As a matter of fact, all of our stuff that were recorded there, I will always think, like, there was all done at Chess. And a guy named, Ron Malo.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Ron Malo was the head engineer at Chess Studios. And he recorded the Rolling Stones when they were in town. And they recorded an album, I think, called 12 by 5 or something like that, right? And one of the, as you know it all, baby. And one of the things is, what was the name? Can you remember one of the tunes? It was an instrumental.
One of the tunes that was an instrumental that they called 2120 South Michigan Avenue.
Right. That's exactly
in honor of the Chess Studios.
Don't we have some history? Don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
All right, let me take you back to Warm Baby. Have you ever thought of redoing it? Because it's a good song.
That's a great song.
I mean, you get really funky on that
tune.
Well,
you know, Johnny. Well, if I could do this.
You could bring it down.
I felt like Mickey Mouse for a second there. What happened? I don't know. But
have you ever tried doing it again?
What's that?
Have you ever tried doing it these days?
No.
That's
a great
song.
We want Warm Baby. You've got to work on Warm Baby.
Please, Warm Baby. No, I can't.
Honestly, I had not heard it till the other day. And I said, wait, all these years that I've known Ronnie, I've never heard this song. And that's why we played it tonight, because I said, I love it. We've got to play it on the radio. 16-year-old Ronnie Rice. All right. I told you I wanted to go through some of the text from people at 312-981-7200. So we answered the question about Ronnie for Hire, and we'll repeat that information for you if you'd like to contact him.
While you're looking through questions, I have a question of my own and one that we've also heard from some listeners. Because people who follow us know that you had a bit of an accident over the past year, and you really hurt your wrist. And I'm watching, and anybody who plays guitar knows that your right wrist is a key part.
Excuse me, I have a phone call. Excuse me. This could be important.
Okay.
Hang on. Let's see.
Is that your right
here? What are you, nuts? Oh, let me. I guess I should have had my phone off. Let me think. What? Right, here we go. I'm going to get rid of this as soon as I can. That's funny. Well, it ain't funny to you. But
while you're doing that, I will ask you about your wrist, because anybody who plays guitar knows that your right wrist in particular, you're kind of slapping it. You're doing a kind of a hard motion, and you had some physical therapy, but I'm watching you tonight, and you look like you're just fine with it.
It's not 100%, believe it or not, but gets me through at this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I showed them to you, they're both kind of a little different. But
you took a bad fall is what happened.
Oh, yeah.
You came right down on that arm.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I walked out of a restaurant, didn't see one of those cars stop because it was right in front of me, but it wasn't painted. You couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Going towards my car in a parking lot, half a step, bam. And that was it. So people, you know, I think you could talk about pain. You could talk about things that people have, but there's... I remember when I broke my ankle years and years and years ago, and you can feel sorry for yourself as much as you like, but there's always someone out there that's got it worse. It's really, and that'll probably make you feel a little better about yourself. Yeah. You
know? Well, you're making some folks feel really good tonight. A listener from 312 says, such great music, heartfelt, brings a smile to my face.
Really?
So thank you, Ronnie Rice.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm a big fan of Ronnie Rice. He's coming through loud and clear. This is Ed and Gloria. They say,
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we knew you at Winthrop in 1968.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead.
You and Ed used to make balsa wood airplanes on our kitchen table and fly them in the park on your days off.
Cool. What a memory.
Wow.
What a memory I don't have.
I can't tell you how wonderful it is to hear you sing tonight. You're so talented. I'm so glad you're sharing your talent with everyone.
Oh, thank you.
And that comes from Gloria, who was
checking
in. Thank
you, Gloria.
Tonight. Yes.
Yeah, by my baby. Yeah, you know she come around by 5'4" from her head to the ground. She come around here got about midnight. Baby feels so good. I want to chase your baby feel all right. I'm gonna say I was gonna let you guys do the Gloria part, but you listening,
yes.
And they're not singing along, folks. They're just listening, which is fine, okay, too, as long as everybody out there is. There. So, what else is going on, kids?
Well, Pittsburgh is tuned in tonight and loving you this evening. Also, let's see here, we've got. I was down at Summerfest, and I remember you guys walking out into the crowd after playing. Great times and great memories.
Well, nice.
Yeah. See, you never know who's listening, Ron.
No, that makes you feel good.
Let's see here. This listener says, Ronnie, do you have a 2025 schedule anywhere that we can check out?
Well, right now, I mean, they'll be coming in, but what happens is, it's right now it's the slowest time of year anyway for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Restaurants, blah, blah, blah. So right now, the one in particular, of course, that's coming up will be the one you had mentioned, you know, St. Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And Moonlight Theater, which I'm looking forward to. And then we have the thing, like I said, in DeKalb with the Egyptian Theater with the Cornerstones of Rock, and that'll be on the 25th. Was it the 20th? No, that's not right. I think it's going to be May 15th.
That's true.
So whatever comes in, you know. Like I say, you know, you wait and wait.
You're very active on Facebook, though, so people can friend you on Facebook, and they can follow you, and you post when you've got a gig coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And you also are very responsive to your fans who reach out to you.
Well, fans, you know, they're friends. You know, to me, when they come and sing along, to me, that's like your friends. It's your guys, your people.
Well,
people.
You're going to love this because we have you talk and tell some of your history because we can't assume that everybody knows who you are. And local 630 area code says to Ronnie Rice, all I can say is, wow, an amazing talent.
Oh my God.
This is the first time I've heard him.
Wow.
And I think he's amazing.
All I can say is, yeah, me and I'm in love again. And the love is a jewel away. You know I love you. Yeah, I do. And I'm saving all my loving just for you. Need your loving and I need you back. You're like a dog when it goes mad. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby, won't you give your love to me? Yeah, me and I'm in love again. And the love is a beautiful win. You know I love you. Yeah, I do. And I'm saving all my love and joy for you. Itty bitty in a minor mode. You don't want me around no more. Ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee. Baby, no, let your dog bite me. Please don't.
Ronnie Rice with us in the studio, and you can get to Ronnie at ronnie.rice, the number 8, at gmail.com, 847-864-1577. A few more minutes with Ronnie. We'll take a break and be right back here on WGN.
Steve King, Johnny Funman at WGN Radio. And I'm laughing because
Somehow Ronnie flipped his headphones inside out, which was really funny because even he was surprised he was able to do that.
Anybody who knows Ronnie will not be surprised.
Yes. Good answer.
You know what, Ronnie? I've got to read this one to you from 773 area code. I had a kind of a crummy day, and I was getting ready for bed, but Ronnie is so good.
Wow.
All awake. And now I'm happy, so thank you for brightening my day.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for that response.
Very sweet, yes.
And another interesting question from a 773 area code. Has Ronnie ever been in a movie or asked to play a part in a movie?
I have not. I would.
Actually, I'm going to correct you.
Really?
Because you are in a movie that has been premiering this month, the Dick Biondi movie. You are in that.
Correct. Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, you know, the movie that's coming out, and hopefully you'll see it. Mm-hmm. Dan, you're right. He has, Pam Pulis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she used to, it was her biggest idol was Dick Biondi. She loved Dick Biondi.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been working on this project for probably about 4,000 years. I mean, I thought it was maybe an epic of sort. Anyway, I saw it. It was very mm-hmm. good. It was good. So when she gets it together, anyway, Dick Biondi,
am I wrong, or did, because I saw a still from a little bit of the interview you did. Did you do your interview over at Guitar Works in Evanston?
Yes, we did a little bit of it. That was the first, one of the first guys that was up there talking about Dickie. And, I mean, you know, like I said, he lived in Evanston, so we got to know each other very well. Especially since I'm such a pest. I'll knock that door down. But anyway, so as it turns out, you know, in a movie, like I say, the movie is coming along very well. And hope everybody gets a chance to see it. I got a little bit, you know, they interviewed me. They interviewed Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys is in it. Mm-hmm. We got tons of people in there. A lot of the Chicago guys, the Buckingham, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So it's a pretty interesting thing for the people around here, especially.
Well, when it's released, we'll get Pam on, and we'll get you back on, too, to talk about it.
Okay. And speaking of having Ronnie back on, during the commercial break, we have locked Ronnie into a summer appearance. Ronnie is going to be back on with us because it's been too long since we've been able to hang out with Ronnie.
Oh, thanks.
Ronnie, you may not have been in a movie, but a listener claims that you're a voice of one of the Keebler elves?
Oh, wait. Let me think back a little bit. I didn't do Keebler. I did about 6 jingles back in the day.
Really?
One for Lilt. Somebody sent me a demo, which I forgot all about. I didn't even know. I forgot about these things. Then I also did, I don't know if I did one Keebler or whatever, but I did something for the American Dairy Association. It was called Big Cheese and the Food Groupies. Guess who Big Cheese was? Jack. Yeah, anyway, so it was kind of cool. I liked it. You know, you made a few dollars. And as it turns out, we did it. And Skip Kreparis, you know Skip.
Sure.
Skip Kreparis, who was with Newton John years ago and so on. He got his own stuff going. And we wrote the tune. And then he had these. I was dressed up as a piece of Swiss cheese, you know, like a big old brick. And
that image is now locked in my head.
Yes. Oh, it's sad, isn't it? I tell you, Johnny.
You know what? We're kind of running out of time a little bit.
Okay.
So before we run out, is there any final little thing you want to leave?
Well, let's see here. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. Up above anything called love. Let me tell you about the stars in the sky and the girl and the guy, the way they kiss on a night like this. When I look into your big brown eyes, it's so very about to. And the birds and the birds that they starting from A to Z. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, moon up above, and a thing called love. There you go.
Thank you. I love that tune.
And
Jewel
Akins.
You can see Ronnie live on January 25th at Moonlight Theater in St. Charles. And that is at 630-549-0072 or check out moonlighttheater.com. And again, mark your calendar. That's on January 25th. Ronnie will
Thank
be out
you.
There.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You. Thank you
oh,
so
no.
much.
Oh, no. I always have a good time with you.
People ask us, how's Ronnie doing? And we say, well, you know, he's a member of our family, and it's like family. You kind of lose contact. And
I want to tell the people one thing mm-hmm. that I've noticed about Steve and Johnny. I called you before. I told you I called you the Ozzie and Harriet of radio.
Yeah.
And you know why I say that? Because these are the two nicest people.
Oh.
I've never met personalities on the radio, especially a husband and wife, can I say that, that have been together this long, together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ever hate each other? What happens?
No.
You ever get in a fight?
There's a song called "Behind Closed Doors."
Oh, okay. I better be quiet. No,
but also, we both thought, why marry somebody you don't want to hang out with?
Good answer. Good answer.
Yes.
That's why I never got married.
Okay.
And on that parting note, thank you, Ronnie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you soon. Ronnie Rice, and you can check him out at 847-864-1577, ronnie.rice@gmail.com.
This has been one of those weeks when whatever we were doing, one eye, one ear was on what was going on out in California. This has been a horrific week.
A week from hell.
It really, really has.
And the images look like how I imagine hell. Just unbelievable. So hard to wrap your mind around a situation that continues. We're into like day five.
Yeah. If you were listening to Lisa Dent earlier this week, you heard Patrick Crispin joined Lisa and give an update on what was going on at that point. The Crispins had to evacuate. They are now back at home. But we wanted to get an update because everything that we're seeing and reading indicates, sadly, this is still far from over.
Thanks to the wind.
Yeah. Patrick is nice enough to join us tonight. Patrick, how you doing?
We are hunkered down at home and really thankful that we survived and our home survived, but are really kind of grieving for all the families who lost their homes and all the people who have died in these fires. And there are fires all around Los Angeles. And the reality is, I don't know when they're going to be put out. I mean, the fire that's closest to us, the Eden Fire, it started burning on Tuesday. It's only 15% contained. Mm. It's going to be burning for weeks.
I don't know if you saw the there's basically a picture that has surfaced on Facebook, and I will share it with you. It's a comparison with the fire so far out in California and the Chicago fire.
Right.
And I believe the statistic is that at this point, what's going on out in California is 8 times as big as the Chicago fire was.
The Great Chicago Fire, which was 3.3 square miles. And Patrick, I believe just the Palisades fire, we're looking at 26.93 square miles.
Actually, it's now up to 37.
Oh, my God.
Well, let me ask you, Patrick. You're back home. Can you describe for us what you're doing right now? What is it like in your neighborhood? How far can you go out of your neighborhood? When you look out your window, what are you seeing?
Right now, fortunately, it's actually relatively clear outside. The air is a lot better than it's ever been over the past couple days. That said, you can still smell smoke. Air quality during the days is terrible, 150, 200. It got up to 500 shortly after the fires. It was just unhealthy. That's why we evacuated. What we're doing now is we're staying home. We've got all of our windows closed. We've got air purifiers in two of our rooms. We've got the air conditioner going constantly with really good air filters going on. And we're actually got really good indoor air quality, but when you go outside, you can smell it. And again, remember the buildings that we're talking about, especially in Altadena, this is not new construction. Altadena has been around since the 1800s, late 1800s. So we're talking old buildings with lead, with asbestos, with, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the air you don't want to be breathing. So they really have told everybody that if you're going outside, you need to either wear an N95 mask. So the mask we used to wear during the pandemic, we're wearing them again. Or I think they're called P100 masks, which are the recirculator, the rebreather masks, which you can get at Home Depot. But they do not want you outside right now without a mask on.
I have to share with you one of the many horrifying sights to me was back in September when we were out in California. Patrick was so nice, and so many days he took us on wonderful trips. One of them was down to Malibu, and we were riding through Malibu, I was taking pictures like crazy. Just about everything that we saw in Malibu is gone.
A little further south of that, yeah, especially Pacific Palisades and just north of Santa Monica along the river, or sorry, the ocean, it just got burned. And part of that had to do, I mean, I know there's a lot of politics that's been thrown about this, but the reality is that we had a Santa Ana wind event where the winds were 30 to 50 constant, gusting to 100. And we have not had any rain at all since May. So one spark, and it's going to throw sparks all over the place. So once one building goes, all the buildings go. And there's no amount of water that you can throw on it that's going to put it out. And it just got out of hand really quickly, and there was nothing that could be done. You couldn't put up helicopters or planes to drop water on the fire on Tuesday because, again, when you have winds that are 30 to 50, gusting to 100, it's just not safe to fly close to the ground.
Yeah.
So it just took off, and it's really tragic, and it's going to take a long time for us to figure out how bad the damage is, let alone for us to start the recovery path. But what really makes me feel confident is I've been following in all the different locations where people have been able to donate things at the Pasadena Civic Center and at the Rose Bowl. And over the last couple of days, both the Rose Bowl and the Pasadena Civic Center said to the people, look, we appreciate it. We can't take any more things. You've donated too much stuff right now.
Man.
Stop, which is just, it makes me feel so proud to be in California and be in Pasadena, knowing the outpouring of love that we have for our community. So
it's huge.
There's a positive.
What can you tell us about the normal day-to-day operations of the area you're in? For example, I'm assuming no mail delivery right now, and how do you get to whatever passes for a grocery store in your area?
What's really actually interesting is that if you look at a map of Pasadena, I recommend you go to Google Maps and just take a look at it. You're going to see an interstate that kind of bisects the city, and that's the 210. All the fire damage was north of the 210. We live just south of the 210, and oddly, almost all the grocery stores here are open. Some of the convenience stores are like closing early. Some of the fast food places are closing early. If you go north of the 210, then you get things that are much more closed down. And as you get into the fire area, there's actually cordoned off. You cannot drive into it. People who live in the area can't go into the area because it's just not safe right now. Even though the fire happened on Tuesday, you've still got live wires on the ground, you've still got gas lines that haven't been turned off, and you've still got recovery going on. And until that happens, those parts of Pasadena and Altadena are just off limits. So to answer your question, in our part of Pasadena, which is south of the 210, it really is kind of business as usual. There are still trees down in all the streets, and there's leaves and everything because of the winds that happened. But we're kind of okay here. It's just north of the 210 is where the disaster is.
When you look toward the mountains, do the mountains look normal, or are they shrouded in smoke and haze? And
you can see the mountains, but you can actually see haze and smoke over the mountains, because right now the fires are at the tops of the mountains, at the crests, because remember, Pasadena is surrounded by mountains. The fire crews have been able to stop the fire from going up to Mount Wilson. They're stopping the fires from threatening the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. But in the Los Angeles National Forest, which is sort of the area above Pasadena, and it's the mountain range that is above us, right now the fire is at the top, at the crest of all of the hills, and the wind is blowing down towards the crest of the hills. So it's going to slow the progression of the fire. Fire doesn't like to go downhill. It likes to go uphill, and the wind is blowing against it. It's still going that way. So we've got smoke coming off of the mountains, but the face of the mountains that we see, it's already been burned. So there's not much you can see as far as fire on the mountain.
I have to ask, as everybody wants to know, how's Joseph doing?
He's actually doing really well. I mean, he's concerned, obviously, for his friends, because his school is actually in an evacuation zone. The fire, if you saw on television on the first night when they had evacuated that nursing home was maybe a quarter of a mile, half a mile from Joseph's school. His school's still in an evacuation zone. The school district is going to be closed, not just this past week, but this coming week, the entire school district, because so many people have been impacted by the fire. So they're going to be doing some online learning, but he's worried for his friends. Mm-hmm. He's not scared because he realizes that we're not in danger south of where we are. And he did kind of enjoy going to a hotel for a couple of days. And we left really the point we wanted to make about the going to the hotel was we were not in an evacuation zone. We were just south of the evacuation zone, but we left just because the smoke was so bad. Joseph has asthma, and we really wanted to make sure that we were taking care of him. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why we went.
Well, you said something that, boy, you were so right when you said, just think for a moment about children of Joseph's age. He's 8 years old. Live through the pandemic, being a prisoner in your home, trying to understand when you're 3 and 4 years old, you know, what's going on? Why are we doing this? And now your world being flipped upside down, because I suspect that some of his classmates, some of his friends won't have a home.
That's very
likely.
They
lived in the area,
In fact, tomorrow we're going to be going with his best friend. His family lives on a street where, fortunately, their house survived, but maybe 6 or 7 houses down the street, everything's gone.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to be going tomorrow to go check out the house, and the parents said, we really don't want our kids to go. Can you please find something for our kids to do? And we're going, absolutely. We're going to go take them to go see Sonic, the movie. And, you know, you get to go take care of your house and, you know, let us know what you need. But again, this impacted so many people. And again, we got lucky. Our friends got lucky, but so many people didn't. I saw actually the estimate as of today, they have confirmed that in the Eaton Fire, which is just the Pasadena area, 1,211 structures have been destroyed. And if you look at aerial imagery, they're expecting that it could be as high as 7,000 structures. 7,000.
That's just like street after street after street.
It is. There just are flyovers that helicopters have flown from the news, and they've done the maps, and it's like the entire, you know, Altadena, large parts of it are just gone.
Patrick, has anyone talked about, and maybe I'm jumping ahead at this point, but I'm curious about all of this debris. Where does that go?
Because it is years from Hurricane Michael. There is still debris from Hurricane Michael when we go down to the Panhandle. that's sadly going to be exacerbated out in California.
And it's going to go into landfills eventually, but the reality is that we need to first go through, and the grim thing is they've got to have cadaver dogs go through all of the remaining 7,000 structures and see if there are any other human bodies that they can recover before they do that. But eventually it's going to go into the landfills. And it kind of has to, because, again, every winter we get Santa Ana wind events where the winds, you know, this past week was abnormal for Santa Ana, and where we had 100 miles gusts. But, you know, if you don't get rid of that debris, the next Santa Ana, and they're continuing, it's going to be blowing, and it's going to be really bad for the entire area. So you've got toxic ash that has to go somewhere. It's going to be a long time to get this fixed.
I have to ask, because a lot of people all over the country have been watching the local news stations. You can get them through Roku or any of a number of sources. But within the past 24 hours, I saw there was some real concern for, I believe it is Mount Wilson. This is a mountain that has a lot of, in fact, I think the majority of the broadcast towers, the emergency towers, and there was some concern with what was going on up there. What can you tell us about that?
The fire yesterday started burning up the hill towards Mount Wilson, which is home of not only the broadcast antennas, but also the Mount Wilson Observatory, which was a very important observatory in physics and in astrophysics, and still being used. And fortunately, I've been watching very carefully. They had crews go up on the Angeles Crest for highway, and they were able to fight the fire and protect Mount Wilson. So the antennas on Mount Wilson are not in danger right now. We'll have to watch what happens on the backside of Mount Wilson, but from the side that faces Los Angeles, I think the worst has passed.
Speaking of Los Angeles, as we were driving in tonight, I was thinking that we were about our conversation this evening. I remembered that last Saturday night, we had fun talking about the fact that you and Joseph got in a driverless car and drove around Los Angeles. And it seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
I can't remember. It was like,
That was just last Saturday.
This has been one of the most stressful weeks. I imagine, you know, we're sitting on a dinner Tuesday night. We get the alert on the apps that are saying, hey, there's a fire that's broken out. And we then start seeing the evacuation orders. I go out to get a Coke and then look up the mountain going, oh, my God, this is real. This is, and calling Christine saying, pack your bags. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Mm-hmm. Getting alerts. We have been on edge for the past, you know, since Tuesday, going, okay, what's next? And I think things are calming down right now as far as just, you know, are we in danger? No, but now we have to start the recovery.
Yes.
And you're dealing with not normal, but your, for the moment, new normal. And what shape that is going to take.
Right.
I remember it was, the middle of the night, Chicago time, when we got the text from you guys saying, we have to evacuate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Patrick, USC, you work there. What is the school closed? Or
no, the university is a little further south of with the medical school. So we're about 10 miles south of Pasadena. And then the University Park campus, which is the main campus for USC, is another about 5-10 miles south of that. They have been monitoring air quality, but the first day of classes for the undergraduates and graduate students is this coming Monday. It will happen as planned. Our medical students, when the fire hit on Tuesday, we went online for 1 or 2 days on Wednesday or Thursday and then went back to face-to-face on Friday.
I'm just wondering about the instructors who may not have homes, may not be able to come into work. And that's going to happen, too, when you kind of the fires are out. You're going to realize how many people have been impacted by this when you don't have people working in restaurants and you don't have people at Target and the people don't show up at grocery stores. Because why?
Yep.
They're busy trying to find a place to live. Yeah.
And the financial impact this is going to have on the whole country, on the world.
Yes.
Because what was the statistic, Johnny, you came up with? California is
the fifth
largest economy in the world.
Yeah. In the world. And for anybody that points a finger, if you're an idiot and you point a finger and say, well, you know, that's a different world out there, those rich people and such. If California fails, it has an enormous impact on the rest of this country.
And let me interject. If you are one of these idiots that is pointing fingers and saying, oh, well, California, blah, 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 stop listening to us. I don't want to hear about it. This is a horrible situation, and you need to be concerned with the people who are dealing with this horrible situation.
The key word there is people. I mean, whatever you think, these are people who are having to deal with this. Imagine losing everything. And really, it's one of those things where the fire starts and then 15, 20 minutes later, everything's gone in your neighborhood and you are packing frantically to try to get out.
Yep.
I don't care what people's politics are. No one deserves that. And we have to come together as a country and we have to kind of be able to support each other, regardless of our differences.
Amen, Patrick. Amen. Well, hug everybody for us. And, you know, we're here for you. And thank you very much for your time tonight. We love you guys. And our listeners are relieved to hear your voice. So thank you for taking time.
Happy to do it. Have a good night.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
That's Patrick Crisman. And Patrick will join us next week to talk technology, but also with another update.
Sure. So.
Putman, WGN Radio.
Can I just say that?
Now, wait a minute. We have to all do this together. 1, 2, 3. Bop, bop, bop.
I didn't practice that. I was just thinking that the tuba sounded kind of rude.
I know. I was surprised to hear some.
With my headphones on, I was
funky
like.
Funky tuba.
Excuse me. That was one of Tom Appel's cartoons. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, you sound great, man.
Thank you.
It sounds like you're sitting right here with us.
Oh, that's good.
It is good. And it's good to have you on the radio to talk about all that car stuff. And what we're talking about here is our hookup has improved. Right, Tom?
It has, yeah. And it was a crazy problem at my end that I discovered entirely by accident.
It happens. It's just good to have you and to be able to hear every word. And what's tonight's theme for your cartoons?
Tonight's theme is Night Train, Four Ways. And Night Train's an old blues standard. It was originally recorded in 1951 by someone named Jimmy Forrest. But that recording we just heard is Arthur Blythe off the album Exhale from 2003.
That's nice.
I never heard it, but I like it.
Yeah.
But I'd never heard funky tuba.
I kind of called it rude because it shocked me. I was like, what's that all about?
Yeah, who needs a bass player when you have a tuba player?
That's right.
Well, we should back up in between all of this rude and funky tuba stuff and formally introduce the man who is the publisher of Consumer Guide. You should go to consumerguide.com. That would be your publisher, Tom Appel. And Tom, who is also on Blue Sky.
Yes, he is. Yes. And what have you been driving lately, Tom?
I am driving right now. Interesting vehicle because it is a car. And some people may remember cars.
Yeah.
Do they still make them?
Not many. But this is one of the few that actually sells in reasonable volume. I'm driving the 2025 Nissan Altima in top-level SR trim. Nice car, interestingly competitive with the Honda Accord and the Toyota Camry, though in a different way. This is available with all-wheel drive, and I'm driving the all-wheel drive version. I'm sort of surprised by how it's equipped, and I guess that's not the car's problem, but at $35,000, this car does not have heated steering wheel or heated seats.
Mm-hmm.
But you could back off. It's got a lot of really fun kind of accessories that I think younger males might enjoy, 19-inch wheels. What else has it got? Some blackout trim and stuff like that. I would give up that trim in exchange for a package that gets you the heated seats. Mm-hmm. But I'm liking this car. I don't know if I love this car. This uses a CVT automatic transmission and a relatively conventional small four-cylinder engine. I should say mid-size four-cylinder engine. And I found it powerless in certain uphill situations. Mm. And that's a little frustrating. But the ride and handling are good. It's pretty quiet on the highway. And the interior is very nice.
Did you have a chance to drive it in snow and use the all-wheel drive?
Did not, no. I'm going to look for some snow tomorrow if there's some left in a parking lot. Check it out there.
We're supposed to get a little bit of snow overnight tonight.
So. Yeah.
All right. I'm good.
So we'll call you when it snows on our way home. You can jump up and run out and try it out then.
And we want to share a couple thoughts on a vehicle that we had the chance to check out about a week or so ago. That was, I would say, I'll speak for me and let Johnny jump in. I was pleasantly surprised. It was the 2025 Chevy Traverse. And
I was equally surprised at the room.
The very roomy.
Patrick is 6'6". He was comfortable. There were five of us in the vehicle.
Very quiet. Fits and finishes. Wonderful. If I had a real nit to pick, it would be their positioning of the seat buttons for the passenger seat. Instead of being where you would expect them to be, down on the, you know, your right hand goes down, and you move the seat forward and back. No, they're kind of hidden by the right side of the center console in a place that you wouldn't expect to. In fact, all of us had to get out of the car and look and say, where the heck are these buttons?
And you have to use your left hand to drop it down once you know that that's where they are. And I would say that the third row of seats, it's nice to have third row, but you must relegate the third row to the kid that is bad. You're a bad boy.
It was very quickly decided that Joseph was the only one who was going to spend any time, because Christine was trying to be very nice and said, oh, well, I'll sit in the back.
And then she said, no, it's not going to happen again. And I'm not suggesting Joseph was a bad boy. I'm just saying as a family vehicle, you do not want to be on that third row.
But also, Joseph's complaint from riding in that third row of seats was not that they were uncomfortable, but that he couldn't really see out the windows.
Because
we were pointing things out to him, and he said, well, I can't see this.
I'm in a box back here. I can't see anything. I thought, well, that's interesting.
But
that's kind of an interesting point, too, because kids are going to get bored pretty quickly.
Yes.
I mean, we wound up having to get his attention because he wound up segueing to his phone and what was going on there because he couldn't really see anything. But in terms of fits, finish, transmission was really good.
Yes. Handling was excellent.
I think the bang for the buck, because this stickered right around $40,000. Correct me if I'm wrong, are they using the same chassis that they use for the smaller Escalade? Because that's what it felt like.
You said this was the Chevrolet Traverse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is, it's unique architecture, more or less. It's shared with the GMC Acadia and the Buick Enclave. And it's sort of an extension or long version of the Chevrolet Blazer architecture. So it's been around. It's been updated. That vehicle is redesigned for 2025. And it is one of the larger, roomier crossovers in the midsize segment.
And again, if you need three rows, okay. Of course, there's no room for your groceries if you've got it filled.
But also, fair to point out that Patrick, 6'7", he had no problem fitting into it.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that we did not like was to flip the third row of seats up. That is a manual full body experience because it's the classic, you pull the strap and you have to pull it to
lift
it.
Not only a manual full body, but a manual several full bodies working to do
experience. To get the seat to sit up. But
that's funny because if you get the power versions of those, they're so slow. it's sort of a half a dozen of one since the other.
Yeah. Well, Tom, we've got a lot of ground to cover with you. There are some recalls this week. Quite a few, in fact. If you own a Tesla, listen up.
And when we come back, a very important blatant plug when we come back after this break.
Yes, so stay with us here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Okay, before we get time to explain who that is, that took me back, and you can leave it under us a little bit, Julian. That took me back to playing at Popple's Tropicana in Riverdale, Illinois, back in the 60s. We had a sax man with our group, and we would play that, and every time we were playing it, when it got to the bump, 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 all the dancers would hop for those things. It was one of those things that every time we started playing that, the dance floor would just get jammed because people wanted to do that bump, bump, bump.
Now, I could do that. I can't dance, but I can hop.
And really, it didn't matter what kind of dance you were doing. When it got to that bump, 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 you just kind of hopped, and that was the
awesome
deal.
And this is Night Train. Four different ways, and this version is by
the Cornells, off the album Beachbound from 1962.
Well, that's Steve, right around the time that I would have been doing that.
I was wondering if that might be the one that you were listening to in 62.
No, I believe the one that was the largest seller, I think, was Ray Anthony's version. It was a big band version of it. I'm pretty sure. And Julian is rushing right now to see. You got it, Julian? Okay, go ahead and lay a little of it on us. That's much faster than I recall.
Yeah. Boy, you'd be hopping real fast.
That's a different song. From that album, but it's a different song, and I'm trying to think of what that song. Anyhow, that was Night Train. We're talking with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, and the blatant plug light has just gone off. You can see or hear the Consumer Guide Car Talk podcast. And this coming Monday, we are going to be Tom Appel's special guest on Car Talk. And if people want to hear it live, because it is recorded for a podcast, but if they want to hear it live, they go to what? TalkZone, or what do they do?
It's TalkZone.com. Yeah, at 3 p.m. Chicago time.
As we like to say, we're Tom's radio parents.
Yes.
So his radio parents will be doing a check ride on Monday.
Yes.
To see how the boy's doing on the radio.
We only let him do so many shows.
I expect a report card.
Yes.
Okay. Should we talk a little bit about recalls? Because, oh, wow.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
There were a few in this past week, huh?
Yeah, a couple of interesting ones. There's a really big Tesla recall right now. It's a big deal, and it doesn't look like they can fix it over the air, so you're going to have to bring your vehicle in. But 239,000 Teslas from all extractions except the Cybertruck. So the X, the Y, the S, and the 3 subject to this recall, affecting vehicles between 2023 and 2025. The rear view camera may not work or may cut off as you're backing up. So kind of a big deal there. It's a hardware issue. And word is going out March 7th. If you're an owner of an affected vehicle, expect a letter after March 7th.
Hmm. I'm going to hold you for a second before we move on to recalls. Tesla. And rear camera and driving backwards and stuff like that. There was a video. I don't think I shared it. Well, I may have shared it with you, Johnny. I'm not sure. It's this hill climb challenge, and you have the Tesla Cybertruck, and you have a Hummer, and the Tesla this is a steep hill, and the Tesla Cybertruck starts to go up, and has to come back down. Does it again? Starts to go up, has to come back down. Then the Hummer pulls into position and turns around backwards and backs all the way up to the top and then just comes back down.
Mean.
It was like one of those, okay.
That's mean. That's just rubbing it in.
It's additionally mean because that's a 20-year-old Hummer.
Really?
It's the old Hummer H2, the one that was very... there was a time when you couldn't not see a yellow Hummer H2 driving down the street.
Yeah.
They were very popular for a while, but that's the vehicle in question here.
Did we ever tell you about our experience road testing the Hummer?
No.
Oh, it was one of the most frustrating experiences because I maintain that people treat you a certain way based on the car you're driving.
To set this up, so there we are in this Hummer on the Kennedy. We're in the far left lane. Oops, accident in the far left lane. Okay, so we need to get over in reasonably heavy traffic to the lane next to us.
We decided to warn the enemy by turning our blinker on, right? So we're warning the enemy. We need to get over. Tom, I am not exaggerating when I tell you it finally came to me rolling down the window, hanging my head out, putting my hands in the prayer motion. Please, please let us. Because I maintain everybody that passed us says, well, I'm not going to let no Hummer, blah, blah.
And we also found that happened when we were up in the northern suburbs. I think it was Evanston, and driving the Hummer. And there was attitude.
Yes.
I mean, people just did not want to let us do anything because we were driving a Hummer and we should just sit there.
I do not want one of these vehicles because people hate you from the get-go. That's what my theory was. And this one, it was brand new. You didn't see a lot of them. And it was a big honking vehicle, and it was intimidating. I understand that. But I do have a theory that people, whether they're aware of it or not, they do treat you a certain way. For example, if you're in an older Lincoln Town Car, they think you are an older person.
Yeah.
So they treat you similarly, like, let's lay on the horn and get the old fogey to move.
Yeah,
I'm driving a cool Lincoln Town Car. Back off.
Our guy Damon Bell, who used to be a co-host of our podcast, was test driving the Hummer H3, which was the compact Hummer, and it's not really as fuel thirsty or wasteful as the H2. But he had parked the car outside of a Starbucks, ran into the Starbucks, and when he came back, someone had written on a napkin and stuck it under the windshield wiper, and the message was, "People who drive Hummers make wars in the Middle East necessary."
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah, a lot of assumptions there.
Whoa. I'm glad I didn't encounter that. Attitude I can deal with. I would have stood in the parking lot and cried. Like, this is my job. Stop. Don't put that on me. Golly. And that, again, that was not the gas-guzzling vehicle like we were driving, which was, I think the one we had even still had gurney latches so that you could slide the gurney in the back of it and latch it down.
And it felt so claustrophobic inside. I mean, it was a big honking vehicle that felt so claustrophobic inside.
Yikes.
Yeah, the windows were narrow. There wasn't that much side glass. Yeah, they were claustrophobic's the right word. I remember that.
Well, on the subject of Tesla, we should also mention that there is a minor but still a recall for airbag replacement. They're recalling a few hundred of the 2425 Model S and Model X vehicles because the driver's airbag could tear during deployment and not adequately protect an occupant in a crash.
Mm.
Letters will be mailed out on February 21st.
Okay.
So be happy until that time and pray that you don't get in an accident.
I have to ask, are they Takata airbags or is the...
It doesn't say.
What kind of airbags does Tesla use, Tom?
Well, there is no Takata in the conventional sense anymore. That factory's still building replacements, but the company itself is gone. I don't know who the supplier is for Tesla.
Hmm. There was a Ford recall. I think you've got a number of recalls yet to cover. I've got a couple I want to sneak in, so we'll come back and talk about those. Got a couple questions from our audience, Chevy Trax, if we can come back and get your opinion of that. And if you have a question for Tom, you can get in here at 312-981-7200. We'll try to cover as much ground as we can. Tom joins us twice a month to talk about cars. And as we said, we're going to be joining him on his show on Monday on Talk Zone. So stay with us right here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You are chortling.
Because you don't want to talk over the guitar solos.
Well, I wanted to hear Wes Montgomery.
I don't blame you.
Because Wes Montgomery is always good to hear. This is one of Tom's cartoons. Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. Tom, you want to explain who that is and what that is?
Yeah, that is the incomparable Jimmy Smith on the organ and Wes Montgomery on the guitar off the album The Dynamic Duo from 1966.
And that was, I want to say that was about the time, and I haven't looked this up, but that was Jimmy Smith with a real big orchestra. I think that was about the same time that Jimmy Smith had a top 40 hit with... Walk on the Wild Side.
Oh.
Because it has that same kind of a feel to it. Because Jimmy, of course, did a lot of organ funky things. Mm-hmm. But this was his big band, and what a big band it was. That's fun.
Well, Tom's cartoons are Night Train, Four Ways, and a few listeners have pointed out that every time they hear the tune, it takes them right back to Back to the Future, because that was played in the dance scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah. So, in fact, one listener said, thank you for that memory. I just keep going back to the future.
Yeah.
With a little night train. All right, Tom, back to the business of talking about cars. What do you think about the Chevy Trax?
One of the most impressive new vehicles of the last few years. The Trax was redesigned, I think, a model year ago. But the old car was kind of a cheap, affordable, accessible car that got good mileage, and it was a little bit cramped. General Motors redesigned that car, I think, for 2024, and it is an amazing vehicle now. It is one of the most affordable small crossovers you can buy, and it is roomy. It is affordable. It is fuel efficient. It is nicely put together. The interior is nice. It is quiet on the highway. It is absolutely one of the best cars you can buy for the money. You can get one out the door probably for around $22,000 plus tax.
And get a load of this. Lupe from 219 Northwest Indiana has the 1RS. He paid $22,600. Base has heated front seats, steering wheel, and heated mirrors.
Nice. Yeah, it's a great little vehicle. If you're looking for like your first new car, that's a great way to go. The other vehicle to look at in that class is the Nissan Kicks, which was just redesigned for 2025. But they're both really strong values, and there's a lot of equipment for the money. Oh, one downside of the Kicks, the Trax, I should mention, is not offered with all-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm. But heated seats and heated steering wheel on the base model.
So is it front or rear?
It's front-wheel drive. And for 2025, the Nissan Kicks for the first time is available with all-wheel drive.
Very nice.
More and more all-wheel drive is becoming standard, isn't it?
Yeah, something like 80% of all vehicles sold in the Chicagoland area have all-wheel drive. And you pay for that up front, but you get the money back in resale value. And it does take a small toll in fuel economy. But the first time you drive through 6 inches of snow, you're just glad you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, a listener asked, and this question came up the last time we were on the show, and I don't think we had a chance to get to it. What are my options for a vehicle with a manual transmission?
So few. Volkswagen make a big deal of the Jetta GLI, which gets a little pricey for a compact sedan. That's still available with a manual transmission. And it's a great car to drive. A lot of fun.
You know when I knew that manual transmissions, sadly, were on the way out? When Corvette started making their main transmission the automatic transmission.
Yeah.
That to me, yeah. that was really the shark jumping point for manual transmission. But they work so well now, and the fuel economy is so good, and you can still get a ton of performance out of them.
Oh, yeah. They actually perform better than manuals now in performance applications. And one of the things, too, about automatics, as we move forward, there is no point to a manual transmission in an electric vehicle. They're complicated to the point that they don't exist in hybrid vehicles. And they're incompatible with a lot of safety features like obstacle detection and things like that.
Really?
So we're not going to see manual anymore. Also, no one's that interested in driving it anymore.
Right.
The Porsche 911, which is sacrilege, but when they redesigned it a couple of years ago, it was launched without manual. Now, you can get manual in it still, but I think 80% of those are autos now.
Well, didn't the Mustang lovers also grumble when they didn't have a manual option?
Yeah, and I think the EcoBoost version, that's the four-cylinder base powertrain, and the Mustang, which is actually a great powertrain, that's now automatic only, too. So the only stick is really the V8.
Why is manual incompatible with a lot of the safety features?
Because you need the car in gear for certain safety things to actually happen. And if you're driving, you may not be in gear. You might have the clutch in. There's a lot of things that can happen that the car can't compensate for if you're not in gear.
Okay. Speaking of for people who like to be able to be a little more in control of what their car is doing. The shifter pedals on the other side of the steering wheel. Is there any good source you would recommend for people to go to learn how to use those pedals? And I ask that because one of the car forums that I follow on Facebook, somebody was saying, does anybody ever use these pedals and where do you learn? Because they don't really, that's not the kind of thing they teach you when you're driving the car out the door. The hand grip pedals are there, but
flippers,
whatever. But for somebody who hasn't used them, doesn't really use them, is there a source you would recommend for people to go and find out what do they do and how do I use them?
I don't know a source off yet. What I will do is look for one and get back to you guys on this, because I'm sure there's a manufacturer that's put together a good video on that. I do know that my daughter, who had a Nissan Juke, a 2014 Nissan Juke, was running into situations when she was at school out in Monmouth, where in hilly terrain, the CVT automatic in her Juke wasn't especially responsive. And I kept trying to get her to use the manual mode, but mm-hmm. she wouldn't do it. And my wife had a 2002 Volvo S60 with a manual mode. It wasn't the steering wheel shifters. It was using the actual shifter itself to nudge it sideways. And she wouldn't do it either. And both of them can drive stick, so I don't understand the resistance, but...
Interesting. Because I've tried to learn stick, and I had the worst possible instructor.
Not me.
No. an ex who had no patience whatsoever and actually got out of the car and left me in the car, and I didn't know how to drive it. And I said, well, that's it. I'm never going to drive a manual transmission again. And so in my mind, I always felt like if you had manual transmission, it was probably the best theft deterrent, because a thief gets in the car and goes, oh, no, I can't drive manual, and leaves.
In fact, did you see, I think it was a video or a picture or something on one of the social media sites where people are putting on their windows, manual transmission, don't break in.
Oh, no.
Using it as a theft deterrent warning.
I did not see that, but I think that's brilliant, because I could just see criminals going, oh. Because my mother, as a banker, told the story of the guy that attempted to rob their bank, and they kicked into robbery mode, and the goof was in the parking lot. He did not get anything, but he was on the run. He got to the parking lot, and the car that he was in was a manual, and he just killed it. And he was just sitting there.
Wasn't he stealing the car?
Yes.
And it got in. Oops, yes. Manual transmission. Oh.
So he failed at robbing the bank and stealing the car. That is not a good day, especially if you're a professional thief. But they
it's interesting too when you pull up to a valet stand, how many valets now have a sign that simply says no stick.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So if you do drive manual, then bully for you. It's going to come in handy. It's going to be one of your selling points.
Well, I always wanted to know how to drive manual transmission, didn't know, and was working for a company called Radio Surgeons on the south side of Chicago. And one
They did not do anything medical.
No, they didn't. They wanted me to go down to the stockyards to pick up a truckload of refrigerators or something. So they said, okay, here's the keys. Toss me the keys, and I have this truck that I have to drive down to the stockyards. Long story short, I taught myself how to drive stick that afternoon, driving that truck down to the stockyards, mostly in second gear.
On the Dan Ryan.
No, not Dan Ryan.
Good.
This was side streets, which made it even more interesting.
Yes.
Steve, that's almost exactly my learning to drive stick story.
Really?
Yeah, I worked at a gas station, and because I was the cleanest of all the gas station attendants, I frequently got to drive customers home with their vehicles. So they would drive in, we would drive them home, and I'd take the vehicle back for service. So this guy comes in one day in a Ford van, and I think it was like a 1974 Ford van, and someone yelled at me, my nickname at the gas station, Salami, take Mr. Wilson home. So he drives there to his house, which is very close by. But I noticed that he keeps using the turn signal for some reason. And then I realized, oh, dear God, that's not a turn signal. It's a column shift.
Oh!
And I fundamentally understood how to drive stick, right? I knew how it worked. I knew why you did it. But I had never done it.
But the column shift was a whole new wrinkle for me.
Yeah.
And so this guy gets to his house, pulls into the driveway, and I'm like, hey, Mr. Wilson, I've never driven a column shift. He's like, nothing to it. Reverse up, one is down. I'm like, yeah, nothing to
or so, actually, as the as most people called it, three on the tree.
Three on the tree. So he's watching me from the house, and I just stepped on the clutch and lifted off the brake, and the car rolls backward. He gives me a thumbs up and goes inside. And I'm like, all right, no one's watching me. And the beauty of this van, it was a 460, an enormous, you know, just an enormous boat anchor V8 with all sorts of torque. I didn't even need gas. I just put it in first and kind of lifted on the clutch, and it just lurched forward. And I'm like, I'm good. And mostly in first gear, I drove back to the gas station. And then I pulled in, and I didn't tell anyone about it. And
oh, that's a great story.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We will be right back talking cars with Tom Appel here on WGN.
All aboard for Night Train.
Johnny Buckner of WGN Radio. Works a whole lot better when I turn my microphone on.
You were just grooving.
Well, I was. And I know who that is, but I will let Tom Appel explain who that was and what it was from.
Yeah, that's the hardest working man in show business, James Brown, off an album I didn't know existed. It's the soundtrack to a movie called Ski Party that I'm unaware of.
Awful movie. Yes, James Brown is in it. The Beach Boys are in it. I think Dick Dale and the Deltones are in it. It was one of those movies, the tons of movies, of teen drive-in movies that came out back in the 60s.
And it's really bizarre to see James Brown in at a ski party.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
I was thinking that.
Because he's wearing James Brown clothes, you know, and everybody else is wearing parkas and ski boots. And
but having said that, if you want to see, and you should see, the definitive version of James Brown and the Famous Flames doing Night Train, you need to watch The Tammy Show.
Mm.
The Tammy Show.
Do Tammy.
You know nothing about this?
No.
Good heavens.
Sorry.
Dad, Tom, you have to be better about helping our son.
Tom, you need to turn in your rock and roll shoes.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to say, when you get off the air with us, immediately, don't do anything else. You can probably find it on YouTube. Watch The Tammy Show. It's the T period A period M period I show. It was a television show that was produced in, I want to say, the early 60s. You're too young to remember a show called Shindig. Jack Guy.
I know about Shindig.
Okay, Jack Good was the producer of Shindig. He helped put this together. It's hosted by Jan and Dean. It has people like Leslie Gore, the Righteous Brothers, the Rolling Stones, a very young version of the Rolling Stones, and James Brown and the Famous Flames, all live performances. If you watch nothing else tonight, watch James Brown on that show. It was the definitive James Brown moment. It, for a mass audience, it defined who James Brown was. It increased his profile. And you won't believe his footwork. It is just extraordinary. So that's your assignment, son.
Okay.
So a listener says, a car show and a lot of train songs. Well, no, not actually. The song is Night Train, Four Different Ways. These are car tunes. These are the tunes that Tom listens to when he's road testing vehicles. And so this kind of evolved into the, well, what do you listen to when you road test vehicles? And so we came upon Tom's tunes. A listener says, wasn't Tammy in 1964?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have had to have been because Rolling Stones, Beatles, 1964. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
And Tammy stood for something like teenage something international.
Okay. You don't know what you had for dinner yesterday, but
no,
you remember
I
that.
I retain the important stuff.
Yes. Tom, is there a difference between all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, a listener asks.
There is a big difference, too. Four-wheel drive, generally applied correctly, is to a system that can engage all four wheels completely. And he's usually a two-speed transfer case. So something like a Jeep Wrangler, versions of like the Chevy Tahoe or Chevy Suburban. But your big body on frame trucks usually come with that. All-wheel drive is a system where generally the operator doesn't have to do anything. It's just automatically engaged, though sometimes you can turn it off. And those are more computer controlled and will do things for different surfaces. But all-wheel drive is a much simpler, not simpler, but a lighter, less severe use kind of system, perfect for snow in a light-duty car.
Okay.
And I think kind of important, look into your manual and find out if you have an all-wheel drive system, try to find out what bias does it have. By that, I mean, and Tom, please jump in and slap me if I'm saying something wrong. If it like in the Genesis GV80 we have, it is biased toward the rear wheels.
Uh-huh.
So that means, yes, it's all-wheel drive, but the rear wheels are really kind of driving, no pun intended, how this is going to operate. You want to explain it a little better than I do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you have a rear drive biased vehicle, and one of my favorites for handling is like the BMW X5, that's BMW's midsize crossover, it is all-wheel drive, very capable all-wheel drive, but it's a serious rear-wheel drive bias. Like, I don't think it's ever more than 60%. Or only about 40% of the torque ever goes to the front, which means that if you hit the gas hard while you're cornering, you can bring out the rear end.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people who have sporty interests like that characteristic. It's kind of fun in the snow, too. But a lot of European vehicles, Mercedes, BMW, you mentioned Genesis, those vehicles will have a rear drive torque bias.
So do you have to drive it differently in snow if it's a rear bias?
You should be aware of it, so you're not surprised if the back end.
So you're
comes
not fishtailing,
out.
Yeah.
Right,
and also there are mode options. So if you are in snow, you put it into that the snow
mode
drive mode option.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And then another thing you can do, and I think we talked about this the last time I was on, the economy mode. If your vehicle has an economy mode, mm-hmm. perfect for the snow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because it. What it's
a couple of things. One of the things that an economy mode will do is often you don't take off in first gear, you take off in second gear, so less torque is getting to the rear wheel, so there's less chance of slip. Also, you will upshift a little bit earlier, so your shifts are a little bit less surprising, so a little less power is being. You're not surprising the transmission, basically, as you upshift through the gears. So that'll keep you going smoothly, too. But there's a lot going on there, and it's all helpful in the snow.
Tom, we have played music and run out of time for this segment. Can we ask you to hang for just another segment so we can get to the final recalls and a couple of questions that people have been waiting patiently to get you to answer?
Oh, that's going to delay me watching Tammy, but yeah, that's fine.
In fact, Steve, you should have said, listeners cannot watch Tammy until after 2 a.m., please. Well, that build up, I want to shut down and start watching Tammy. Gosh. Tom, sit tight. We'll come back with you for another segment. So you guys who have questions for Tom at 312-981-7200, I promise we will roll through those real quick like here on WGN.
Cottonwoods whispering above, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Tammy. Tammy.
That was Tammy with a Y. The show was Tammy with an I. And during the news, Tom was busy looking up the Tammy show, right, Tom?
I didn't watch it yet, but I'm queued up. I'm ready to go.
Good.
And Johnny, go ahead and repeat that. We're talking about the Tammy show, 1964, and you have the great quote from Keith Richards.
Apparently, they were supposed to perform right after James Brown did Night Train on the Tammy show, and I guess they could have been naked. No one would have cared because, as he said, nothing compared to what James Brown did.
It is
nothing.
Absolutely the best. But watch the whole thing. Watch it from the beginning of James Brown coming on to when he finishes. And you think he's going off, but he hasn't gone off.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the best James Brown performance you will ever see.
But Tom agreed to stay with us for a few more minutes to answer a question. Listener wants to know your opinion of the 25 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Yeah, we named that a 2025 Consumer Guide Best Buy. It is an extraordinarily nice midsize crossover. For people who don't know, Hyundai sells two midsize crossovers. One is the Palisade, which is larger and has a more useful third row. You can get a third row seat in the Santa Fe, but it's really best left for the youngsters. But otherwise, beautiful interior, great powertrain. It's a good looking vehicle. It's one of those vehicles stylistically that I think is a little bit polarizing. It looks a little bit like a Range Rover product in a good way, although the back view is a little bit weird. One of the pieces of bad news about this vehicle is that the price went up rather dramatically for 2025 by about $2,500. So it is more money than it used to be. It's also more vehicle. It is a very nice, refined, near-luxury vehicle. And like so many Hyundai, Kia products, the interior is really great looking.
That price increase, is that likely to happen throughout Hyundai and Kia and Genesis? Because for a long time, they have been very effectively underpricing their competition. Now they're starting to say, okay, we've got enough of a customer base, and you're going to have to start paying for what you're getting.
Yeah, and the value thing was something that they probably very carefully manipulated over the years. We all remember that Hyundai products were absolutely terrible when they launched in the late 80s and into the 90s. They were just terrible vehicles. So it took them a long time to recover from that, and I think the name was slightly tainted even until fairly recently. And one of the things that they do, too, is the extended warranty.
Yeah.
They have the best warranty in the non-premium field, so that's nice. And the price has always been just slightly more enticing, perhaps, than other brands. But I think that's a no-more situation. I think that Hyundai and Kia are officially, you know, brands completely on equal footing with other brands, and the discount's going away.
You mentioned the horrible launch, and boy, do I agree with that. I remember specifically the first time Johnny and I ever road tested a Hyundai vehicle, and I thought, oh, well, now this is interesting, was the Hyundai Tiburon. And I really liked that thing. Now, that would have been, mid-90s when that came out?
When the first one, there were two generations of the Tiburon, and that sounds about right for the first gen.
Because I remember that we got that, and I was just so impressed. It was a fun sports car and well put together.
A listener had asked us about Ford recalling the Escape. And Tom, I looked that up. Apparently, that was a recall that came out this week.
I did not see that. I'm sorry.
Well, I looked it up, and NHTSA says that Ford is recalling 20,484 of their 20 to 24 Ford Escape and the 21 to 24 Lincoln Corsair hybrid electric SUVs because a manufacturing defect in one or more of the high voltage battery cells may result in an internal short circuit and battery failure. Battery failure can increase the risk of a fire or cause a loss of drive power, which increases the risk of a crash. And Ford said dealers will perform a battery energy control module software update, replace the high voltage battery pack as necessary, free of charge. Owner notification letters are expected to go out next week. Yay! We hear about it, and within the month, information goes out to owners of Fords. So for the listener who has a 21 Ford Escape, you will probably be getting a letter because it's 20 to 24 for Ford Escapes, 20,484 of them. That's a few cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like there was a software issue that actually may have damaged the battery. Because they seem to have the batteries ready to go.
So, well, before we let you get out of here, and I'm squeezing in a bunch of stuff, a listener wants to know, how do you find out if a vehicle that you own, in this case it's a 16 Buick Encore, if it there was a recall? Apparently this vehicle needs a new catalytic converter, and this owner would like to know if there's any chance there was a recall on that, and how do you find out if there was?
Yeah, the easiest way, you can go to NHTSA directly, and at NHTSA there's actually a tab now. That's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. But if you go to NHTSA.gov, I believe it's NHTSA.gov, there's a tab there where you can just go and enter your VIN number.
Sure.
Of course.
And you can also just call the dealer, too, if you want to have the service guys check it out for you, too.
Yeah, unless, of course, they're the ones that are replacing the catalytic converter, and you're saying, but is there any chances it's free?
Well, there are things like that. They call them sometimes secret recalls, and it's if you have a problem and you come and complain about it, they may have an unofficial recall where they take care of things, but they don't announce them because they're not required to do the recall, and they'd really rather not pay for 100,000 vehicles.
If you catch them,
they may replace it.
Well, we will see you on Monday afternoon.
In fact,
looking forward to it.
The blatant plug light has just gone off. So we're going to be joining Tom on his Monday Car Talk. It will be live at 3:00 in the afternoon, and then the podcast is rerun at various times.
It drops on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, the official podcast, the one you can listen to on Apple and other places, will drop very early Tuesday morning.
Okay. So we'll see you on Monday. I'll be packing apple butter for you.
And people should check out consumerguide.com. And any other blatant plugs?
Last week's podcast, if people want to hear it, we spoke to the folks at Consumer Reports about their most reliable brands. And there's an upset at the top.
Ooh.
Toyota, Lexus are no longer the number one and number two brands. So, yeah, it's a good episode.
Good deal. Well, we will catch up with you on Monday. And
follow Tom on Blue Sky, Car Guy.
Yes.
Tom.
That's right.
Blue Sky.
I have a contest going with Jill Simonillo.
Oh, you
do? My co-host. And I need to get to 500 before she does.
All right. We'll work on that, Tom. Thank
All right,
you.
Thanks.
As always. Appreciate
Take care,
it.
Guys.
We'll talk to you Monday. Bye now.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Sweetness, and I like the dance, running the ball.
Oh, boy, talk about a throwback to a better time.
What memories. And can you believe, do the math, 40 years ago.
40 years?
Yes.
Gabe, 40 years?
Can we put that back on? I was dancing.
I know.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
And you know what's kind of sad, if I remember that song word for word after all these years? I was 3 years old when they won Super Bowl XX.
Oh.
I had actually just turned 3 2 months prior.
And you were probably dancing to the tune while you were watching.
I remember the video like it was yesterday. And after hearing it enough times through the years, I remember the lyrics.
The video was wonderful. The guys were so good.
That was considered high tech for the 80s.
Yes, that's true.
And that really was a national sensation.
Yeah. Gosh.
I mean, the first time that I ever heard that I ever played that song at home in front of my wife and started singing it. she looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, how do you remember the words to that? And I tell her, because I'm a real Bears fan.
That's right.
Real Bears fans remember those lyrics. Yeah, if they're old enough to remember the song, that is.
And because you remember the important stuff.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Last week, what a shock. In fact, I sent you a text and I said, too bad we didn't let Steve bet that $100 on the Bears the way he wanted to. Because we left and I said,
shoulda, coulda, woulda.
I said, that's just dumb. Don't do that. Don't waste your money. And then I'm like, what?
Well, when DJ Moore fumbled on that screen and then the Packers kicked that go-ahead field goal, I'm like, okay, this is done.
Yeah,
it's just a formality. And
As they have been all season, the Bears tried as hard as they could to lose.
And then Caleb Williams did Caleb William things, and this time it worked.
Yeah.
It worked, and they wind up getting the field goal. Now, I was worried they weren't going to be able to spike the ball before the clock ran out.
Yeah.
But it just happened.
Did you hold your breath? Because I thought, oh, please, 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 do not let this be this.
Well, first when he got sacked on that first play, I was like, okay, there's the end of the game right there. But then they called the horse collar. So that helped. And then when I'm looking at the formation where DJ Moore caught the pass, where they were in position for the field goal, I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we lining up in a stack formation with very little time on the clock? And then they complete the pass. And as you could see, DJ Moore started throwing himself to the ground before he was even tackled because he was trying to get in position for the field goal. And then they're trying to run to spike the ball. I'm like, oh, Lord, they're not going to get it. And then they spike the ball. I'm like, okay. And then when they came out for the kick, that's when I held my breath because I'm like, last time, we all know what happened last time they played the Packers.
Yeah.
So, and then when they made the field goal, I screamed so loud to the point that, so my nieces were there with their little dog. The poor dog got scared. The poor dog got scared because he heard me screaming in the room.
Oh, my.
I might have shook the house, too.
Oh, that's what we heard.
Uh-huh.
But how much sweeter was it that it was Green Bay?
Yes.
Oh.
And the crazy fact that I guess I heard it on the post-game show, that the only coach not to win a game in Green Bay was Eberflus.
Yeah.
He was the only one. Every other coach has won at least a game there.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah. Well, did you hear about the prank against Caleb Williams on Friday?
No, I did not.
Some teenage boys got his phone number.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And you wonder, how did that happen? But they got his phone number, and they called him and talked to him as though they were Ben Johnson, one of the hottest head coach candidates.
Oh, boy.
And I guess Caleb got real excited about it. And they did a good job of
those voice apps, I tell you.
Yeah, I guess that's what they did, because he said he really bought into it. He thought he got the news that Johnson was going to be their new coach, and he was excited, and it turned out to be...
If anybody could please find those teenagers and tie them to a tree, please.
Yeah.
And spray graffiti on them.
Oh, ouch.
And then got mad at them.
Yeah.
Because that was cruel.
Well, you used a term a few minutes ago, and I want to be smarts.
See, it's the last hour of the show. We're running out of all the good words.
I want to be sports smarter. Horse collaring.
So that rule came into place in 2005, and it was called the Terrell Owens rule because it came from the season before when Terrell Owens was playing with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was tackled that same way. He was grabbed from the back of his shoulder pads.
Oh.
And he rolled his ankle, ended up breaking his ankle, and missed half the season, came back in time for the Eagles Super Bowl that year. But when that happened, there was like a big outcry over, you know, hey, this tackle is dangerous. People can get hurt. And, well, Terrell Owens broke his ankle and missed, you know, half the season because of it. So the next year they put that rule into place. And they also added, not only was it the horse collar, but also you can't grab if a player has, you know, braids or long hair. You can't pull that either.
Really?
It's sticking out of the helmet. So they included that as well.
Huh. Because that would be so tempting. You know?
I mean, obviously, but, you know, now that tackle I could understand because I've been horse collared when I played when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's you know, it's unpredictable how you can land. You try to keep yourself from falling in that situation, but you could actually hurt yourself even more if you do that. So,
because you're not necessarily falling forward or backward, you may be falling
right. You don't know which way you're going to land. You're just grabbed from the back of your neck, which is not comfortable in any situation, much less a football game where you have somebody chasing you at full speed. But so that's where that rule came from, and it's been in place ever since. And I will say that for the most part, the NFL has done a good job of enforcing it, but there have been some instances where they haven't exactly grabbed the horse collar. They grab more towards the shoulder or, you know, some other, you know, maybe like the back of the arm, and they still call it. So those situations, it's like, I don't think that was necessarily a horse tackle. But for the most part, the NFL has done a good job of enforcing that rule because, you know, I mean, I don't like how it came about is when it happened to a star player, when how many players through the years have had that been tackled that same way and might have gotten hurt as well. But, you know, they waited, you know, until it happened to Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
To finally, you know, put that rule in place. But, obviously, if it wasn't for Caleb getting horse-collared on that last drive, we're not having this conversation. We're just talking about how I was right that they were never going to win another game.
Okay. So, if you could whisper in the ear or just put it out in the universe, who, in your opinion, would be the best of the candidates that are being floated as the next head coach?
Ideally, you would want an offensive-minded coach to help Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, Ben Johnson, the Lions coordinator, who did interview with the team this week, would obviously be the best candidate in that regard. I also wouldn't mind the Lions defensive coordinator, who also interviewed. That's Aaron Glenn. You see what he did with that Detroit defense, even after Aiden Hutchinson broke his leg and was out for the year. That was their best defensive player, their best pass rusher. And it was like they didn't miss a beat without him, you know, because he's got that scheme locked down for his players. Even though he's a defensive coach, I would like to think that he would bring in an offensive coordinator that can help Caleb Williams to further his career and to get better in the areas where he needs to get better. But make no mistake about it, you know, Caleb Williams took chicken crap and made it into chicken salad at times with all the late game drives. You know, they didn't win a lot of those games, just the Green Bay game, but you see what he's capable of doing, and you know how many years have we seen a Bears quarterback fail to do that?
Okay, so, I'm going to segue in a different direction for a second. How many days until spring training?
I want to say it's probably just a month now.
That's what I'm thinking. And what are we looking for? I know most of the attention will be on the Cubs. Sox, what do you want to see?
So the White Sox, I just want to see that they can put a team out on the field.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Will Venable, the new manager, you know, it'll be, you know, curious to see how he can get this team, you know, going. Again, not expecting a miracle, but I would hope for some improvement. And there's going to be a lot of young players on this team. You know, guys from the last few years are out the door or about to be out the door. And
but young players is not necessarily a bad thing, depending on who it is that makes the cut.
Right. Well, and remember that when the White Sox made their last playoff appearance, that's how they got there, with guys that they built through their system with a mixture of veterans. But this time, you know, they're hitting the reset button, and they're really, you know, going all in on these young prospects and, you know, bringing them up. And, you know, like I said, to me, it's just, you know, what kind of team can you put on the field on opening day? And that's what I'll be looking for as far as the White Sox go.
Okay.
Put on your news hat, and we'll get right back to you in just a moment. That's Gabe Salgado talking sports between the sheets here. And it's been fun talking about the Bears because I watched the game then, remembering what we've talked about the night before, and then I invariably find myself sending Gabe texts, and he's going, "Crazy lady, leave me alone. I'm off work today."
Well, there is that. but I think now I'm at the point where I'm ready to move into spring training.
Okay.
So...
You put that out in the universe, right?
Yes.
We're in our final stretch here on WGN.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
What's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, better scurry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think,
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to break this spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I
swell.
Ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I move in
at
closer?
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Ah, but it's cold outside.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I know we played that last week, but it's still cold outside. That's Tony Desserre and Nicky Perot. And Nicky, as we mentioned last week, Nicky was Les Paul's bass player and just found out that Nicky has a brand new album out that we have ordered. And we're going to try to get Nicky on the show over the next couple weeks.
That album arrived while we were here at the radio station tonight.
Okay.
We ordered it yesterday.
Yep.
And there it is. On our front step, no doubt, in the snow.
Yeah.
Even though I cleared the snow from our front step.
Kind of like the picture frame and the picture that you had ordered that were tossed down on the ground outside our front door, and because of the way they were tossed, the picture frame was completely cracked.
Partly, the seller is to blame. There was not an ounce of protection around a wooden picture frame. So when it was tossed, I gotta say, that was dumb. So I put some of the blame on them, but it should never have been tossed in the snow.
We are into the final moments of the show and realizing that there's a whole lot of stuff we didn't get to. So a couple things. Number one, next week we have a 10:30 start time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't talk about the repair service problem that we had. We'll get to that next week.
Not simply to complain, just a warning.
Just to share an experience. And also, we would like to ask if you would take a look at our blog. Our blog is stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. And honestly, we'd like to segue as many people as we can from Facebook to our blog. We're going to see about some other social media sites, but Facebook has gotten so wonky lately and is continuing to get even wonkier. I don't know how many people, well, I think a lot of people in our listening audience know who Rob Feeder is. Rob Feeder, for years, was the media columnist with the Sun-Times, and he's been on Facebook for years, and Facebook suddenly decided he didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
With no explanation, no nothing, and Facebook said, no, you don't exist, you're going away.
Everything, gone.
And it was only thanks to Neil Steinberg in the Sun-Times, who wrote a column about it, which caused Facebook to contact not Rob Feeder, but to contact Neil Steinberg and say, "Oh, okay, he's back.
He's a real person. Oh,
but as some many people have asked, if you didn't have a Neil Steinberg to write about it, as many people don't, who are being disenfranchised from Facebook, So the point is, yeah, we'll still be posting some things on Facebook, but we're looking for alternatives. And for the moment, you'll always be able to find us on our blog, which is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we're going to talk with Patrick Crispin. Yes, we'll get an update on what's going on in California next week, but we're going to talk technology. And among the technology things we'll be talking about with Patrick is the option of backing up Facebook on Dropbox or in what other social media sites you might want to take a look at.
Or if you want to be sure that your pictures will survive if suddenly one day you no longer exist. And or maybe some posts back and forth with family members that are no longer around. I heard this from people, said I would be devastated if I lost my history because I have some communications there with people that are not alive. And it's sweet to go back and see those things. And so, yeah, there's a way that you can download everything, your entire history, and save it on Dropbox.
Speaking of going back and finding things, so many people diss AOL Mail. AOL Mail, we along with, I forgot how many email accounts we have now. I think we're up to about 8 or 9. But we still keep an AOL Mail account, and I'm so glad we do. A, it is secure. B, we have, I'm trying to think how many years it goes back. I was looking for something just this past week, and I had to go back to, what year was it?
It was about 20 years.
At least 20 years. And I found the emails that I was looking for that had to do with something that we're working on for our book. So I was able to get those specific emails from someone whose name you will know, and we'll tell you more when the book is done. But point is, don't diss AOL.
It's very, very secure, and people assume it's kind of like what we were talking about an hour ago, assumptions because of the car you're driving.
Yeah.
I see bias online. A friend of mine posted that he was having difficulty accessing his AOL account, and people jumped all over him. Oh, you
still have AOL?
Oh, only old people have it. Oh, you've got to move on. No, it's working for him. And no, you don't have to pay for it. And I've got an account, so we actually have two AOL accounts.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Speaking of accounts and things, look quickly at our Facebook page and see what I just posted.
Okay,
kids at home, you can go there too, but I warn you.
And that's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. Okay, I'm refreshing. And yes. Oh, I'm so hungry for this. Go to Facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. We had this last night, and we're having leftovers of this when we go home tonight, and I can't wait. Julian, do you see what I'm seeing?
That looks amazing.
It is wonderful.
I hate mushrooms, but it looks amazing.
Okay, I will make it for you using no mushrooms. They call it a chicken cobbler, kind of like a pie, kind of chicken pot pie-ish. Do you like carrots and peas?
Yeah, I like carrots and peas.
Okay, because you almost have to have them in a chicken pot pie.
Scares yourself when you do that.
What is happening?
There's some kind of feedback there.
Yeah.
You think? But this chicken casserole, cobbler, pot pie.
You realize how hungry you're making me?
It is the best comfort food in the world because, first of all, I'll quickly say this and then I'll post the recipe in case any of you want to try it.
And the recipe will be available on our blog.
Yes, yes.
And the blog is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, and we'll put links all over the place, but that's where you will find the recipe.
Look, as I'm sitting here, I'm licking my lips.
Yeah.
It's so decadent. It's so filling, and it just warms you from your head down to your toes.
Can we leave now? I'm so hungry. I want that now.
You've got your chicken shredded up in the bottom of the 9x13 pan. Of course, you have to first put in your stick of butter and let that melt. Yeah. And then you lay your cooked chicken on top of that. And I'm telling you, I use Swanson's canned chicken breast. Drain it real good. Two cans you can get for $6.98 at Walmart. Or a rotisserie chicken. You get rid of the good stuff like the skin. And then you get all the bones off and you shred it up. And that also makes a good base for your chicken casserole slash
cobbler.
What
did you use to make the crust? I love the crust. It's a thin, really nice crust.
That is, thank you, Red Lobster biscuit mix. And they make it gluten-free.
And it's wonderful.
So you take the biscuit mix and you mix it with the herb package that comes with the biscuit mix. And instead of 1 cup of water, you use 2 cups of milk. So it becomes like a thin pancake dough that you pour over the chicken and the peas and the carrots and a little bit of onion and the chicken broth.
I'm so hungry.
And the biscuit mix. And it goes in the oven for like over an hour.
Starving.
And when it comes out, it's so lip-smacking good. We'll probably eat it cold when we get home.
Yeah, we probably will.
We won't want to wait till it warms up.
Well, okay, I think... What am I hearing? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
we can almost go home.
Yes.
And the blue lights are flickering. And we hear the Zamboni, and that means it's time for the last call. 312-981-7200 if you would like to be the last call we take tonight and win some goodies from the WGN Radio Prize List. As long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first.
Right.
312-981-7200, and you don't have to have anything. Are we going to ask for something pithy tonight or not?
No. I'm not into anything pithy. And if you have a cough the way we do, we understand, so don't let that keep you
again,
from calling.
Again, this has nothing to do with...
we're not sick.
No, we're not sick.
Thank goodness.
This is just a...
Well, a couple of people said we need a humidifier, but we have a humidifier on our furnaces at home, and the humidity in our house is like 50% in one apartment and 48% in the other. It seems like that's okay. I know, you're looking at me like we have to get the vents cleaned. I know that. But that doesn't explain in here.
312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller.
You don't have to have anything pithy to say. You can merely stop by to say, hey, share a recipe, whatever it is that's going on in your world. Maybe you've gone to the kitchen to get a snack. You can tell us about that.
No more recipes. I'm too hungry.
I know. I am so ready. Let's make this next 13 minutes go by fast. So we'll be back after this.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
I'm so hungry.
All right, people. It's time to go home.
And get something good to eat.
Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out.
Let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope, you can't stay here.
And no, we are not going to play all of that.
Yep.
That is the closing song by Red Peters. Look it up on YouTube. We love it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to play it.
Unless it's our last night.
Yeah.
That will be our swan song.
On any radio station.
That's right. You'll know that it's serious if you ever hear the whole song playing, okay? So you could be one of the kids that are in the know when you hear the whole song playing and you go,
this is their last show. Oh.
Okay, we got a bank of calls here. Whose turn is it to make a choice?
I'm going to say Julian.
Julian. Let's make Julian.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let me roll my die here. I'm going to roll my die. Let's see what it gives me.
Wait. Can I just tell you real quick? I had a funny conversation with 8-year-old Joseph about dice. He could not understand why one was a die. Well, why? You say die when something's dead. We had like a 10-minute conversation.
Because we were playing the kids' version of Clue.
Of Clue. Oh, my gosh. It's very adult. I don't mean, you know, questionable. I mean, it's smart.
And we were all having a hard time because we hadn't played the kids' version before. So Johnny and Christine and Patrick and I, and we're okay, now what are the rules for the, and Joseph is bored.
He's like, come on, people, move it. We got to play this game. And we're like, I don't know what to do next. What's going on? Okay, that's giving you time. What number are you choosing?
That's one bright kid. He has a bright future. All right, so the die, singular, rolled one. So Ooh. We're going to go with number one. That is Bob in Arlington Heights.
All right.
Hey, Bob in Arlington Heights.
Good morning, Bob.
Sure. Good morning, Stephen, Johnny.
Good morning.
I told Julian this, Bob. It's only half the Bob is the lesser half of Bob and Sherry in Arlington Heights.
Oh, and you text us during the show, right?
Yeah,
nearly every week.
That's right.
I've been a fan of you guys since Stephen Johnny 1.0, and tonight really resonated. I mean. Ronnie Rice, you know, New Colony 6. My wife grew up near Belmont in Austin,
mm-hmm.
went to St. Ferdinand's, and I graduated from Taft High School the day of the famous blizzard in 67.
Oh,
boy.
So we love the New Colony 6.
Uh-huh.
And on top of that, the cherry on top of the whole evening was you sticking up for AOL. Because I not only am one of the last guys in America using AOL, but I have to be nearly the last guy in America still paying AOL.
Oh, okay. You seriously don't need to do that.
You won't lose anything.
It's my same thing with paying the Tribune. And, you know, I was a copy boy at the Tribune, so... It's misplaced loyalty.
Oh.
I'm going to die broke, but I'm not going to die broke.
Oh.
Okay, I'm very serious. We're going to figure out a way to help you,
thank you.
Stop paying, because you do not need to pay. Anyone who tells you need to pay AOL, they're lying to you. You don't need to pay AOL.
And you can stop paying and keep everything exactly the way it is today. We just recently helped a friend go through that because he was resistant. He says, oh, no. I said, you got to understand, we actually like AOL. You do not have to leave, and you yeah. won't leave them. You'll just have a well, few extra you. Bucks in your pocket.
Thank you very much. Your show tonight was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's fantastic every week, but it was especially after the events of the last week.
Yes.
Yep.
To hear nearly, well, I mean, you know, we were listening to the Hawks game, of course, but, mm-hmm. you know, we'd like the better outcome, but hey, there's still progress there. And, you know, but to hear 4.5 hours of positive, happy talk,
and
even though, you know, we can't, you know, none of us can get away from what's happening in California
right.
and what's going to be happening on the other coast later. In a month, but you know what? Your show is an oasis every week.
And oh, thank you so much.
I say this as somebody who's been up since 5:30 this morning.
Wow.
The only good news is, you know, I used to stay up, and you know, we would always stay up for your show, and then I would also force myself to be up for the Sinatra hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Not staying up for Wolfman Jack, but your show... Your show is must hear, and when you guys are off, it makes for a bleak Saturday night.
Oh, golly.
Oh, boy.
Well, you are, in fact, the cherry on top of tonight's show. Thank you so much for all your kind words. Well, really, Bob.
We hope you get many, many more years if this is what you want to do, and we really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh,
I will tell you one thing we will do next week for sure. Patrick Crispin is back on with us. We'll be talking technology. With Patrick, we will talk about how to keep AOL and stop paying for AOL. We will absolutely make that a thing.
That's a good idea, even though Patrick doesn't use AOL. But he agreed with us. He said, if you're comfortable with it, you're right. It's very, very secure. So, yeah, that'll be on our list of things to do, Bob. And I guess we will get all of your information off the air, and we're going to send you an official WGN T-shirt and be proud to know that you're wearing that T-shirt in Arlington Heights. And thank you for listening every week and for reaching out to us.
And, Bob, do you have one of our Life After Dark CDs?
I do not.
Oh, well, good.
Now you do.
Yeah, we'll send you one of those, too.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Hang on and talk to Julian, and have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday on the radio.
Yeah, for anybody who still has AOL, A, you're not alone. We have AOL, and as I said, about, I think, 9 different email addresses, but AOL is secure. There's nothing wrong with it. They've improved the platform, and you do not have to pay for AOL. Even if you have been paying for AOL, you do not have to pay. Nothing is going to go away. But we'll go through the specifics of that next week with Patrick.
And don't let anybody berate you if you're on AOL. So if your kids or your grandkids roll their eyes, say, I can hear your eyes rolling. Stop it now.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, when it comes to weird things happening with accounts, have we heard anything with AOL in years?
No. And just because something has been around for a while does not mean it is outdated.
Yeah.
That it won't work compatibly with. There have been times when we needed to send something to someone. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of what the reason was. I think it may have been a large file. And one of the other accounts we were using didn't want to do it.
Yep.
AOL was fine.
Yep. That's right. So that and a whole lot more under the umbrella of tech next week when Patrick is with us. Say a good, when you pray, say a really, really good thought and prayer for everyone in California.
Yeah.
And we're all affected. As I said earlier, we're all affected by what's happening in
California. If you're a human being, you are affected by what's going on in California.
So even if you don't pray for the people who do, go ahead and say a good word for them.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. We do appreciate it. We appreciate your kind words throughout the week as you've been reaching out to us, checking in on the Crispins. Our thanks to our news department tonight. We had Rob LaFrenz who stopped by.
Yeah, it was nice to meet Rob.
Nice to meet him. Apparently, family with big fans of our radio show over the years.
Next week, we'll have to get review from Ron Brown of the 4 movies that he saw.
That's his idea of a good time. Gabe in the newsroom wearing his sports hat and his news hat. Bob Fukuda, the keeper of the big plug. And, of course, Julian on the other side of the glass, keeping it all together for us.
And thank you much for hanging out with us. Stay safe.
Thank you all.